You ready? Let's go.
Come the Senators, the shot by the Sheik. Take rebound, he scores! Backs it out of the air, and by Stolarz.
What a skillful play by Duchene.
Hockey gods will always come back and get you.
Off the goal post, and in the goal. Ottawa wins again. Mark Stone is being mobbed by his teammates.
Hockey gods will come back and get you every time.
Welcome to the Religion of Hockey podcast. My name is Grav, aka Nathan, and I'm joined by Nico and Jay in this third episode to talk about the NHL trade deadline and the trades that happened this week. Unfortunately, right after we made the last episode, Charlie Coyle was traded, so we're going to start out with that one in today's episode, but we're going to go through all of them, maybe skip a couple of the minor ones, but there was a lot of action this week and a lot of trades, definitely at the trade deadline.
Yeah, because we need to talk about Vincent Praplin for future consideration. We got to talk
Yes,
about
a lot of future considerations.
I just want to talk about Spencer Watson going to the Blackhawks. That's a huge thing.
That's a huge
blockbuster
trade. All right, so let's get it going with the Charlie Coyle and Ryan Donato trade. Fifth round pick also going back to Boston. Two Boston boys as well. I actually like this trade for both teams, just of where they're at. Donato's young and could possibly improve, and Coyle is just a good big body to a forward. But, Nico?
Yeah, so for the Boston Bruins, grabbing a veteran player like Charlie Coyle over picking it over a younger player like Ryan Donato, I was talking with this earlier with you guys, saying that for a lot of fans out there for the Boston Bruins are saying, hey, you know, we're trading a young talent, why are we doing that? And, you know, you see that a lot with for the trade deadline especially. You're going to see a lot of young players getting moved out for veteran players. Now you may ask yourself, why? We need to focus on the future. Your future, if you win a cup, it looks pretty bright. Just saying, if you win a cup, you're pretty good. And this is one of those moves that you make to win a cup. You need players who can pitch in, who are depth players who can play defensively and offensively, which is what Charlie Coyle can provide on a depth role, third line kind of player. And he can move up to the second line. Now, in saying that, he wasn't really fitting in with the Minnesota Wild, and it looked like Ryan Donato wasn't really getting all his reps with the Boston Bruins. So this could end up being a match made in heaven. No, honestly, if the Bruins end up winning a cup or going on a deep playoff run with Charlie Coyle and Minnesota Wild end up getting a player that becomes their core piece, I think this is a win-win trade.
Yeah, honestly, I'm a big fan of Donato. Back with the Olympic team and Team USA last year, I loved him to pieces, but last year with the Boston Bruins, he had like a 12-game stint to end the year where he was just one of the best players in the world. Like, he was fantastic, scoring points left and right. And while this season hasn't been the best when he was in Boston with the AHL and with the Bruins, I feel like with Minnesota, he still has a lot of potential to be a first-line guy and a pretty decent one at that. And I think in his first game with Minnesota, he scored a goal or something, but he's off to a good start so far.
Not to mention, his contract is not terrible. Like Charlie Coyle, I'm talking about, $3.2 million for the rest of this season and next season. That's a fairly good contract for a second/third liner center. So not a bad trade there. Now, let's go on to a more, it's a pretty minor trade in the big scheme of things, but we have Carl Hagelin going to the Washington Capitals in return for a 2019 third round pick and a conditional 6th round pick back to LA. Now, for me, this is pretty much a fair trade and a pretty nothing trade to me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right now, for when you look at the teams that are like, you know, making moves, to have a team like the Washington Capitals, you know, make a move for a 6th round pick for Carl Hagelin, just looks how hard Carl Hagelin has fell since his Stanley Cup runs with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, a 6th round pick, he went from Pittsburgh to L.A. this season and didn't really fit in there. I think we all know what Carl Hagelin is. He's just speed and not really much else. He's a decent two-way forward. But even at this point in his career, he's a fourth-line player that's not really going to get you much offensively. And I really don't know They didn't really pay a lot for him. I guess they did. I mean, a third round pick and a 2026 round pick. It seems, you know, it's just a depth move at this point. I mean, if someone gets injured, he goes in, or if they want a little bit of speed on their third line, but not a really big trade for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a really fast player who could probably provide some scoring touch on your bottom line, something like a Tyler Ennis, where he's a veteran, can provide that scoring touch on usually pretty gritty and defensive fourth line. Anything else, Grav?
For me, honestly, it's going to be weird seeing Hagelin in the Capitals jersey after his run with San Jose a couple of years ago. Like, I remember Hagelin just being an absolute beast. Like, he was just untouchable in the playoffs, especially. And it's just going to be weird seeing him on Washington trying to help that team make the playoffs, obviously, but get far. It's just going to be weird seeing him fit there. But I feel like it's a decent trade for Washington. He's a speedy player. He brings speed, and that's what NHL today is, obviously. But I feel like they give up a little bit for him. I mean, a third-round pick is something that the Capitals don't really regret trading at all. They're not going to really use it too much. But I feel like for LA, it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, it was weird that they got Carl Hagelin in the first place. But I feel like he'll be a decent fit in Washington. But it's just going to be weird seeing him in that jersey.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here we go. Here we go, boys. I called this.
Yeah, this is the huge trade. Huge trade. This is the Matt Duchene and Julius Bergman, big piece, going to the Columbus Blue Jackets in return for Vitaly Abramov, 5'9", very skillful player, Jonathan Davidson, 2019 first-round pick, and a conditional 2020 first-round pick. The condition on that first-round pick is if Matt Duchene re-signs with Columbus in the offseason. Now, for me, I like this trade for both teams. If you're Ottawa, you hope he resigns. You get two first-round picks. You get Vitaly Abramov, who is a pretty solid, I would say, B-level prospect. And for me, that's pretty good for what could be a rental. And you kind of have to start rebuilding that prospect pool, rebuild your picks after not having your one this year. That's probably going to be Jack Hughes. And then if you're Columbus, as we know now, they're just loading up for this one run. So I think it's a pretty solid trade for both teams.
Yeah, honestly, this is a pretty big trade, obviously, but I didn't really expect Duchene to go to the Columbus Blue Jackets whatsoever. Like, leading up to this week, it was seeming like it would be Nashville or it would be Winnipeg that would go after him. But Blue Jackets are a little bit of a surprise, and of course, this Duchene deal just opens a bunch of can of worms with what Panarin and Bobrovsky's situation ended up being. We thought both of those guys could be traded this trade deadline, but when Columbus ended up trading for Duchene, it was almost signifying that, hey, they are actually going for it, which, whether you like that or not for their current now or for their future, I think it is a smart move for them because they've been trying to get past the first round for pretty much forever in their existence, and they've just been not able to do it. They've run to hot team, to lucky team, to hot team, to lucky team, and I think it's about time the Columbus Blue Jackets finally make their statement, and I feel like the management up there definitely realizes that.
Funnily enough, at the time of this trade, February 22nd, they were actually outside of the playoffs. Now they're obviously third in the Metro, but at the time, they're actually outside of the playoffs looking in, which is pretty funny to think. Obviously, now they seem like they're probably going to hold that third spot in the Metro, but I think that's pretty funny to think that they weren't even in the playoffs when they made this trade.
I just want to say that I called this. I absolutely called this. What did I say?
Hockey God. Right?
I told you guys last week on this very pod. Look it up. What was the name of the show last week? I don't even know. But look it up.
Saved by the Bell.
There were some bells in it. It was funny. I said that Blue Jackets needed to do this for their fan. I would say, hey, if they're going to do anything, I think trading Bobrovsky and Panarin would have been the wrong move. Because you got to show your fans there that you're in this. And what did they went out? Like, they went out and got a top center in Matt Duchene. I'm just saying. And maybe they, you know what, we'll get to it later. But this looks like a completely different team now than it did a couple of days ago. We'll get into it a little bit later. But the Columbus Blue Jackets, hats off, man. Hats off.
The Columbus Senators.
This is just starting off the Columbus Blue Jackets train right now. Well, hey, since we're talking about Columbus, let's just talk about the Ryan Dzingel trade, too.
Yeah, I was
Ryan Dzingel goes to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They went there for a 2019 seventh round pick from the Ottawa Senators for forward Anthony the Duke Duclair, 2020 second round draft pick and a 2021 second round draft pick. Good on Ottawa for getting, you know, they got a pretty decent haul there. Not gonna lie.
Okay, am I crazy to say that Pierre Dorion did really good for what the position he was in, like the position he was forced to be in? Like, I mean, you get Duclair, who
when it comes
is
to trading all those guys. I mean, yet like I think it was a direct order from Eugene Melnyk. I think the meddling in that franchise is more than people expect. Like whenever the Erik Karlsson trade happened, it's like fire Dorion. Oh, he's so bad. But I feel like it's Eugene Melnyk making these decisions, and I feel like it's not Eugene Melnyk making the decisions on where they go or what they get back. But Dorion is pretty much being forced to dismantle this team one by one, and we'll get into the Stone trade later, obviously. But the Dzingel and Duchene trades were, or I guess the Karlsson trade was the first domino on the domino train that just led to Ottawa getting rid of all these guys that were such key parts of their franchise. And Dzingel is a guy that has been a pretty solid player, but this year has been a career year for him and a pretty terrible year, obviously, for the Ottawa Senators. And I feel like they got a decent haul back, a couple of second-round picks that'll definitely help them. Anthony Duclair is a pretty solid player that, if used right, can be decent, and that's the big thing, if used right.
So for me, it's like you get the two second-round picks, which I guess is fair. And then I guess from Columbus's side, Tortorella was like, hey, this guy is trash. He can't play or whatever. So he seems kind of like a throw-in. But if you put him in the right position, he's like a really underrated and filthy player. Like, he can be really good. And if he kind of pops off on a Senators team that is depleted with guys who can score, I mean, Brady Tkachuk is their leading scorer in goals right now at 14. I mean, he could really, like, get into their top six, obviously, as a rebuilder. And he could maybe do some things and be a player that is more than just a throw-in in the
trade. You know, I always think of, I believe it was the 2014 Toronto Maple Leafs, where P.A. Parenteau had, like, 60 points on a rebuilding, rebuilding Toronto Maple Leafs team. And then he went on and got a really good contract with another team and, you know, ended up not being that good.
It wasn't really that good.
You gotta keep in mind here, Duclair's went from, he's been expendable his whole career so far, going from the Rangers to the Coyotes, and then what, to the Coyotes?
Five teams.
To the Coyotes, to the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks let him go. He's now with the, he was with the Blue Jackets, now he's with the Ottawa Senators. The ceiling's not too high for him. I think in Columbus he found a little bit of a niche, to say the least. You know, playing on a third line, maybe some power play minutes here and there, but it just seems like he's going to be destined to be a third liner or you're out of the lineup kind of guy, because he doesn't play defense. He's a speedy player, but doesn't play defense, and you need that.
Especially in this trade though, like if surrounding this trade deadline, I feel like, when it comes to underrated players that teams will acquire, Dzingel is for sure up there. Again, he's had a great season on a bad Ottawa Senators team. I feel like for the Columbus Blue Jackets, that's a piece that will be amazing in the playoffs. And I feel like Dzingel, given that chance, given that ice time in Columbus, could really thrive. Remember back to his NCAA days where he played Ohio State. He knows that area. He loves that state. And I think he'll feel really at home there and really will gel well. And, of course, you got Matt Duchene going there, his buddy.
I love that video. Matt Duchene
bringing up Ryan Dzingel in his car for the trip. I feel like it's going to be a great move for them and one that Columbus will probably have to re-sign him in the offseason because of how well he's doing.
Okay, guys, so let's say Dzingel has a fairly decent playoff run. Nothing too amazing, nothing too horrible. What do you think his contract looks like in the offseason? For me, it's like what? Like maybe like around $5 million?
I don't know.
I would say.
I think
it's kind of a weird contract. It's almost like the Line A situation. Where it's
no,
like,
totally. Did you just compare Line A to Dzingel? Yes.
No. So the contract situation. Just the situation where it's like, who knows what this guy gets.
The Zingle's better than Lanny. Don't at me. No, you know, for the Zingle, I think ever since he came up from the NCAA for the Ottawa Senators, he's been a player that's always exceeded expectations. Because realistically, he came in to just be a third line, fourth line player that he pretty much a Hyman. Let's just say a Hyman for all intents and purposes, a player that would go in and grab the puck on like a first line and, you know, hope to God that it sticks on the ice for a tip and goal. So far, he's been a pretty decent player. Now, getting 20 goals this season, he has 41 points this year. I really do think that if after this, I don't think he's going to re-sign with Columbus. I don't think they're gonna have the cap space for him. I think this going forward from this point on the season and into the playoffs is going to be very crucial for his next contract, because I think another team's going to look at him and how he plays now and say, hey, he could possibly become part of our core.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to go back to the Duchesne.
We're going to move on, though. Like we're going to move on to the biggest trade of this trade deadline. The Florida Panthers acquire forward Vincent Praplan from the San Jose Sharks for future consideration.
Exactly. Boom. Huge trade. I just want to go back to the Matt Duchesne trade for a second, just because I feel like we talked about all the picks going back. We didn't talk about Matt Duchesne, how he's going to slot into that Columbus lineup. I think it gives them some better center depth, because they only had Pierre-Luc Dubois and, I guess right now, Boone Jenner, because Wenberg is injured. So I think he really helps them out with that. You could probably put him on the line with DeZingle and have a new like second line. So like I think Matt Duchesne will fit in well there. Who knows if he resigns or not. That's pretty much up to him. I'm pretty sure he's going to test the market just because he did not accept the 8x8 contract by Ottawa. But I think he might do really well in Columbus. He fits well.
I agree. I think let's go on the Ottawa side since we talk about all about Columbus. I mean, on Ottawa, they get Abramov, who's having a really good year for the juniors. Abramov. Whatever. Yeah, Kachuk. Whatever, man, dude. More people say that than what you think. You know, look it up. But for him, you gotta keep in mind that this year for the Blue Jackets, he did play 8 games before being sent back down. For Ottawa, they need players in that place right now.
Yeah, he was
almost a roster player
at the beginning of the season.
To get a player like him, who's to say the least, an NHLer. And you grab a 2019 or 2020 pick. I think they're gonna go for the 2020 pick. Yes, because maybe not, because this year they need a first round pick, so probably they go for that first round pick, but you never know. 2020 they might wait to see how Columbus looks, and a conditional. I think the condition is if they they win the cup or something.
No, it's if Duchesne resigns.
So hey, I think Ottawa may have gotten a pretty good trade out of this too.
Yeah, I think I don't think I'm crazy to say that Pierre Dorion did a very good job for the position he was put in by Eugene Melnyk in Ottawa. Like, I think he did really good to get that haul back. There was an image on TSN's Trade Center with, like, all the pieces they had traded away and all the pieces they got back for Carlson, DeZingle, Stone, and Duchesne. And it looked fairly good for what it was. Now, again, he's put in a tough position, but he did pretty well with this Duchesne trade. I think that we've covered that. So now let's move on to the Nick Jensen trade with Washington. So Nick Jensen and a 2019 fifth round pick goes to Washington in return for prospect, who's almost not a prospect. He's got to get into the NHL sometime. He's 23 years old. Madison Bowie, defenseman, and the 2020 second round pick going back to Detroit. So two defensemen switching places and two pick swaps.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this trade for the Washington Capitals. And I predicted this trade, actually. Like,
hockey
god. Discord server, I predicted Jensen to go to the Capitals.
It was Photoshop fake.
No, it was not. The Capitals had this report that they were looking for this year's Michael Kempe.
Yeah, they said, they said gravity. What do you think we should do? Dean Jensen, do you think he's good?
Exactly.
No.
What they did.
No, Nick Jensen to the Caps confirmed. But, yeah, I feel like he's going to be a pretty solid add for Washington. And just like last year with Michael Kempney, he is going to be an underrated guy that flies under the radar, is a solid defensive add, nothing special, nothing amazing, but will help them in the long run, will help them in the playoffs, and will be very solid for them. I mean, Jensen has had a great season with Detroit, who is abysmal.
See, but I don't think he's an underrated player, though. I don't think he was an underrated player, though. I mean, right now, you saw how many teams that were looking to grab him. Honestly, I think he's a player that he underrated, I guess, because he plays on Detroit. Nobody really knows about him. But, like, I always compare him to, he's essentially like a poor man's Jake Muzzin. Like, he doesn't really have the offensive ability.
I mean, a poor man's Jake
Muzzin. That's what I'm saying, for what they gave him.
And they brought in a good haul for him, man. Madison Bowie isn't a player to sleep on, isn't a prospect to sleep on. And a 2020 second round
essentially pick. Essentially, a second round pick's a first round pick this year, too, by the way.
Yeah, isn't the draft supposed to be, like, really, really deep this year, right?
No, next 2020 is the deep one.
Or 2020, yeah. The Lafreniere draft.
This is the year that nobody wants to give up first round picks, and that they're all looking at NHL 19 trades. they're like, you know, I guess the second round pick's a little bit higher than the first this year, guys. We might as well just. I love how one trade just sets it all off. Like, everyone's like, you know, I don't know about that first round pick, but that second though.
Oh, that second round pick.
No, essentially, I mean, everyone's getting traded for a second and third round pick. We go on to the Dallas Stars. Dallas Stars right now. Ben Lovejoy. What do you think about that one? Nate, like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. I was like, that's kind of random.
I didn't see that coming, but I just want to quickly say that Madison Bowie, he has 6 points in 33 games when he played with Washington. But on the Hershey Bears, he had 8 points in 9 games, so not a player to sleep on. He could be a fairly solid defenseman in the future. But now, again, let's move on to that Lovejoy trade.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I've been waiting to talk about
this. Rest in peace, Connor Carrick.
So the Dallas Stars started February 23rd by acquiring Ben Lovejoy for
Stanley Cup winner
and a third-round pick.
Stanley Cup winner Ben Lovejoy.
Third-round pick. Ben Lovejoy.
Not a locker room cancer, which means he's a good guy.
Ice time on New Jersey. Who had to be resulted to a penalty kill specialist on New Jersey. And who is 35 years old. Why? I don't understand. And the defense wasn't even something that we needed to get. The defense is one of the best in the league when you combine the goaltending, whatever it might be. The Dallas Stars did not need Ben Lovejoy whatsoever, and they gave a third-round pick on Connor Carrick, who is not the best, but he's still looking like a promising top-six guy. Like, it just blows my mind. And like, when it comes to New Jersey, Connor Carrick just had 2 primary points against Montreal today. Like, he's not a bad player, and given ice time, he can have a very solid career, and he probably will in New Jersey, because like, apparently Dallas just doesn't know how to handle guys like that.
Yeah, let's not talk about
how we do know how to handle guys like Ben Lovejoy.
Yeah.
It just baffles my mind. And then we go to the Matt Zuccarello trade, which, fun. So
let's not talk about the Habs losing to the Devils, okay? Let's not talk about it.
I just want to point out that I bought out a Connor Carrick Leafs jersey before the season started, and then they traded him a day later.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. I just wanted to say, I totally forgot great Ben investment. Lovejoy, like, played. I totally forgot he was a player, but, you know,
yeah,
I thought
like,
he was so old, I was like...
Forget. Like, he's on New Jersey, which is a relevant team, and he doesn't even play on New Jersey. Like, I'm sorry, Devils fans, you know what I mean, though.
Call him out.
Yeah.
Call him out.
Bruh, he goes...
Roasting teams now.
No, you know what I mean, though. You're irrelevant.
You know what I mean, though.
I'm saying
you
that.
Know that. You know
that.
You know
we can both go together.
Okay, let's get the, you know, the elephant out of the room. Matt Zuccarello.
Yeah. Matt Zuccarello. Please die.
Grab, go again.
Hold on.
Fun.
Before he goes... Mets, I want
in the arms of the
So I went to the Blackhawks
in the arms.
Yeah, for in the arms of the stadium. I went to the Blackhawks versus Stars game on what was it Sunday? So I'm watching the game, watching you know, the little Hobbit out there doing good. Man, he looks so good on the Dallas Stars. I saw the shot. I saw him go off the ice. And immediately, I had my friend James, HAD Hick on Twitter.
He probably has more followers than me.
That's fine. I was talking. I went to the game with him, and we were. I looked at him. I was like, "Man, that would suck if he was out. If he got injured from that, he was out for a while." And then I got an update from the Dallas Stars. One of the Dallas Stars reporters saying Jamie Benn wasn't on the bench, and I was like, "Woof, woof." And then 10 minutes later, Matt Zuccarello won't return to the game, and I was like, "Woof!" It just got continuously worse.
I would be like, ooh, lose for Hughes, but it's too late. You're not going to get him, so have fun.
Oh, man. All right, Nate, you can go after I lay that out for you. Matt Zuccarello's out for the next little while.
Yeah, you don't say. You don't say, Nico.
Well, let's go over the full trade. The Rangers received a conditional 2019 second-round pick and a conditional 2020 third-round pick. So it was a pretty solid trade in the grand scheme of things. It was the same thing as for Gustav Nyquist, which we'll get to later. A winger who could be on the second line. A pretty solid trade both ways. Obviously not anymore now that Zuccarello got injured. But he was fitting in well with Dallas. Okay, all I'll say
before he fit in well in the one period he played.
Yeah, he had one goal and an assist, I'm pretty sure. He was fitting in well with Sagan and Radulov, and then he broke his arm.
My gosh, man. The rant I'm about to go on. Okay, just prepare yourselves. I'll try to prepare myself here.
Because if you want to mute it, this would be a good time.
That trade looked good at the time, but that first period was one of the best performances by any player I've seen on the Stars team in a while. He looked explosive. Every single second he was on the ice, he was making an impact offensively or defensively. Like, the guy looked like he was there for 5 years. Like, the guy looked like he had instant chemistry with Sagan and Radulov, which is hard to do. But he came into that game looking like, I didn't expect him to do that well. I mean, a goal and assist in pretty much a period of play. Like, the guy just looked insane. It just makes me so sad that we didn't give up too much for him, and then he comes in and plays amazing, and then he gets a broken arm in the second period of his Dallas Stars debut. And, like, that just resembles what the Dallas Stars are. That's what it resembles to be as a Dallas Stars fan. Just, you have hopes, and then it just gets crushed down completely in utter pieces, and it just goes everywhere. Like, as a Dallas Stars fan, I'm trying to control myself, but I've just been... Like, it's just depressing. Like, it's just depressing to see this team have so much potential. To start off the year saying, oh, we might make the playoffs. Like, we're still in the playoff spot right now. But, like, it's not looking promising with now Zuccarello out. Benn was day-to-day, which, thankfully, man. I mean, if Benn was out long-term, I don't know what we would do right now. But Zuccarello going down, like, it's such a shame. Because the potential that he had with Sagan and Radulov after that one-period debut, it was just amazing to watch, and it was a breath of fresh air that I haven't seen in this team in a long time, and I was excited to see that continue. I was excited to see that continue into other games, into the playoffs perhaps, but no, it had to be taken away in the second period because the hockey gods, a.k.a. Nico.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I feel the pain in your voice.
Nico did this to me.
That sucks, though, honestly. I mean, I've always been a fan of Matt Zuccarello. I liked him in the Stanley Cup final. I've been a fan of him. And like I'm kind of a short guy. I mean, I'm 5'9", but like I've always kind of liked those players who are shorter and just work really hard. And he's always been a great two way player that just tried on every shift. And it kind of sucks for him to get injured like that on a playoff team. Anyway, obviously, we saw the video of Henrik Lundqvist crying too. So obviously, he's a really good teammate there. So I imagine that Lundqvist was messaging him saying, "Hey, buddy, it's all right. Just come back here after a season.
Has been there for so long, and Lundqvist just—I mean, nothing's going right for Lundqvist in his career. I guess he's always been so unlucky. And now his friend gets traded, and then he breaks his arm. So
everyone's gone from that 2014 run. Now, I mean, who? The Binsky's gone.
It was like Lundqvist and like Stahl and
Kreider. Yeah, you're right. I mean, off that team, I mean, the Binsky's gone, Nash is gone, Girardi, McDonough, Miller, everybody,
all their captains.
Yeah, Callahan. Oh, yeah. That's nuts, man. I can't believe all of them are gone. Anyway, there was also a funny video. I did it, if I'm not sure if I tagged you guys in, but it was this Rangers fan showing all of her her Rangers jerseys. And it had that Arms of the Angel song on, and it was like all the players that got traded. Anyway, moving on. Guess minor league deal here with the Los Angeles Kings. Acquire forward Spencer Watson from the Blackhawks for Matheson Acapelli.
Wait, did we just skip something? Or am I
lost?
I mean, it's just like a minor league deal.
I
remember back, though, in NHL 16,
Spencer Watson
had a high elite potential. He was
good with Kingston, too, back in the day. He was on the line with with Sam Bennett and Watson.
The Franzen match, right?
He was with Kingston. It was Sam Bennett, him, and I forget the other guy. Maybe it was Lawson Krause, I want to say. But anyway, Sam Bennett obviously got drafted fourth overall. And that whole line really hasn't worked out in the NHL. So funny how things end up working out. All right, on to another trade. The Buffalo Sabres acquired Brandon Montour from the Anaheim Ducks for defenseman Brandon Goulet in a first-round pick. One of the three.
I was waiting for you to mispronounce that. I was waiting for you to be like, Brandon Goulet. I'm waiting for mispronouncing that.
What do you mean? Whatever, man.
Anyway. You get Goulet and a conditional 2019 first-round pick.
I think this is a trade that everybody in the NHL is sitting there saying, why didn't we do this? Why did we let the Sabres do this? How do you let a top four who has a really good contract right now, how do you let him go for Brandon Goulet, who's probably going to be a top four, maybe a top four, top six defenseman, a first round pick that's going to be a late first round pick? How do you not go out and get a top six? How do the Maple Leafs not go out and get this player? That's the real question here. How did the Maple Leafs let this go? I mean, I know you already traded your other first, but with everyone trading second-round picks, I'm pretty sure that the Leafs could have been like, hey, buddy, we still have some more forward prospects. Here's a second-round pick. We need defense.
Just offer Sandin for Montour straight up.
You could have even done that. I like Sandin, though. I want to keep him, but I would have kept...
Yeah. That's a little much, but you could give them like what, 2 seconds?
You could have. I mean, I would have. I mean, this is your window right now. I don't really. Good for the Sabres. I'm not going to be that Leafs fan. That craps on the Sabres. Not going to be that Leafs fan. But good for the Sabres in acquiring a top four defender. Combine him with Ristolainen, who did you guys see those reports for Ristolainen maybe going to Tampa Bay?
Whoa. Yeah, after Montour landed in Buffalo, everyone thought that maybe Ristolainen would be expendable.
Yeah, that was a big
rumor.
But
you could not have Montour and Darlene on the same line because there would be no defense.
Montour is their best defenseman, though, right now. Don't at me.
Yeah, so you'd have. So for me, you keep the Rasmus line together, and then Montour can help bring that second pairing just because. You cannot play Montour with Darlene. That just doesn't work.
Well, the thing that really is interesting about this trade is that the Buffalo power play, now it's taken a hit now with Jeff Skinner seeing what his injury may be, which sucks, man.
Right at
the trade deadline, he injures his back. So, the Buffalo Sabres didn't even get a chance to move him. They could have got a really huge haul for him. If they were going to move him. But anyway, for Montour, he's a good power play guy, and obviously the Anaheim Ducks have no offense, so to be on a power play now with the Buffalo Sabres with the likes of Eichel, potentially Skinner back there, Reinhart, Darlene, they're going to have a big boost there from the back end who can give you that big boom and shot and get maybe some more power play points for them, I think, which is huge considering the Sabres have fallen off so hard.
Yeah, I think the Buffalo Sabres can definitely use a guy like Brandon Montour or Montour. I've always called him Montour, I don't know why, but I feel like with that defense, he's a guy that kind of fits in there perfectly. You put him as probably I honestly think he's the best defenseman right now in Buffalo. They don't really have that many great defensemen I think Chris Lyon's kind of overrated. Dolan's still pretty young. But I feel like this is a good ad for Buffalo to just shore up that defense, because one of the reasons why they've been so bad over this last stretch is because the defense kind of fallen off completely. The goaltending has not been nearly as reliable as it used to be, but a guy like Brandon Montour can fix a little bit of that. Brendan Gulley, in my opinion, is a pretty solid prospect. I like him going in the future. I think he's going to be a pretty good force in that top four for Anaheim. But when it comes to that first round pick, it's like the conditions are, it's either St. Louis's or San Jose's that they can pick,
depending
Anaheim,
on the
because
order.
Buffalo has those two picks, and that was the weird condition there, but it will still be a late round pick anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fairly fair trade to me. Obviously, it depends on who that first round pick ends up being. Could be a bust, could be some elite player, but it seems fairly fair to me. Going on to Nico's team making a trade.
This trade, Blockbuster. Trade is just literally nothing.
Yeah, Nicholas Baptiste. Why did I just say Nicola? Nicholas Baptiste to the Toronto Maple Leafs for future considerations. A guy who's been moved around a lot. Future considerations.
I hate those trades. Why don't they just announce what it
seems
is?
Like
why don't
cancer.
They ever just announce what it is? Like, why do you gotta tell me?
Future considerations seems like a cancer in the locker room. He's been moved. So
yeah, like,
much.
I never got like yeah. why they would ever just say like, hey. Future, just tell me it's a sixth round pick, man. Just
it's
tell me it's a
sixth money.
Round pick.
It's money or
like,
a pick.
Just tell
yeah.
me.
We're gonna tell you later on.
I,
know,
I never got that. Another minor move: Anaheim Ducks acquired Patrick Seeloff from the Ottawa Senators for Brian Gibbons. Yep, not
all
really
right.
big deal.
Two bad
just
teams exchanging
pretty much just
bad
a
players.
Depth forward for depth defense.
Yep. And then now we got I've watched the Leafs and the Red Wings a lot, and this trade kind of made me sad to see him go. The San Jose Sharks acquire Gustav Nyquist from the Detroit Red Wings for a 2019 second round pick and a 2020 conditional third round pick. This trade kind of It's like watching one of your players from your childhood get traded off the team, and you're like, oh, man, it's been a long time he's been here. When Gustav Nyquist first came into the league, a lot of guys were saying, like, oh, he's the next coming of Datsyuk and Zetterberg.
Yeah, he was projected to be the next Pavel Bure.
He was supposed to be this top player. And while he didn't end up being like that, he went through the system until he was 20. I think he was 23, 24. Helped the team in those, continued to streak. He was, you know, a player that played hard, and he was a great Red Wing. And honestly, it's kind of sad to see him go, but I'm so happy to see him go to a team like the Sharks, where he has a chance to win a cup. And honestly, you know, right now he's 29 years old, and I hope that he comes back and goes back to the Red Wings. Like I said,
And Nyquist just had a good year too. Like he had, like when it came to the last couple of years, he's kind of fallen off a little bit offensively. But this season has been a little bit of a resurgence for him. I think he's playing pretty solid time with Larkin, which also helps. But I think San Jose didn't have to give up too much to get him. I mean, a second round pick and a third conditional in 2020. I don't think it's too much to pay for a guy that, yeah, will definitely be a rental, but he'll be a very solid option in that top nine. And will be a definite scoring guy throughout the playoffs. And he has a little bit of playoff experience, obviously, with Detroit back when they had their streak. But I feel like he'll be a decent add for San Jose right now. And while I don't feel like they need any forwards right now, it doesn't hurt to get some more.
It's also just a guy who, like, who's going to be a UFA, but he's not as big as the names who we were speaking of. I mean, at the time, Mark Stone, Matt Duchene, all of these guys are going to be UFAs. He kind of fell a little bit under him. Zuccarello, who brought in the same package, and I think this just solidifies San Jose. I mean, they have Nyquist and, like, Timo Meier on their third line, and that just, like, their depth is insane, their forward core is insane, their defense is obviously crazy with the Carlson trade. Obviously, Carlson's injured now, but still, even without Carlson, their defense is still very good, and I think San Jose is, like, getting ready to make a push as well, because their team is just so deep.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think the conditional pick is if, like, San Jose goes to the Stanley Cup final or something, it would be higher. But I like with San Jose, it makes sense for them, but it makes also a lot of sense for Detroit, who is in that rebuilding phase. I mean, Gustav Nyquist was a guy, I think he's like 29, so he's getting up there in age, but I feel like that was about time to finally get rid of him.
You should be trading any guy who won't be there when you finally get good. If you project to be good in 5 years, get rid of the guys who won't be there in 5 years, because then you're just wasting them. Which I'll get to on the Wayne Simmons trade, because like I have some stuff to say about that. But stuff like that, it's like you have to get rid of players if they're not going to be there when you are set to contend. And then if you keep them, you're just wasting him as an asset. So I think this is a fairly good trade and a good example of he's not going to be here when we're good. And even though he's a solid player, we might as well get some good picks and some good assets that we can use when we're finally
What I've seen from a lot of Red Wings fans that rest in peace to 09 Quest on YouTube. what I've seen from a lot of Red Wings fans is that right when they announced the trade, they're pretty much saying like, fire Holland. Like nobody, this is the best you were gonna get. Honestly, you weren't gonna get a first round pick out of this.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's good.
It's the same as
well. Not only that, like for Ken Holland right now to make the move that he did, I think. Because he's always been loyal to his players, I think he could maybe have gotten a little bit more from another player, from another team. But for him to show the respect to Gustav Nyquist and move him to a contender like he did, like the San Jose Sharks, no, it just shows. Honestly, I know everyone hates on Ken Holland for all the bad contracts he's done, but he set up guys for their careers, and he's really helped out a lot of guys. You know, whether or not they've had. Substance abuse issues, or they've gone through mental issues. Like, he's helped a lot of guys out in the NHL, and I think right now, for a player like Nyquist to get sent to the Sharks, it just shows again how good of a guy Ken Holland is. I think that's an underrated value, and one of the reasons why Ken Holland has had his job for so long.
I think I remember this note from earlier. When it came to the Gustav Nyquist trade, Nyquist, I think, had a modified no trade clause, and I think San Jose was like the first team that he wanted to go to. So he goes to San Jose Sharks, and it also shows a little bit of what Ken Holland does with bringing him to that. What he
that
was
also, his that whole that also now, affects trade value too, because essentially the player holds all the cards in that, saying like, "Hey, where do I want to go?" But you know, they had to give a team of 10 teams, so there is that as well.
And he did waive that to go to the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, but the San Jose Sharks though are a good team, so it makes sense why he'd want to go there. Now I want to mention. It's not a big trade by any means, but it's kind of fascinating. The Columbus Blue Jackets acquire goaltender Keith Kincaid for a 2022 fifth-round pick. And this just is funny weird to me because, one, it's a 2022 pick. It's a bad one, but it's a 2022 pick. And it also shows just how much a year can change things. Like, Keith Kincaid was on the top of the world with New Jersey last year. He had an amazing run with them, ended up making the playoffs just barely. But he was looking like a New Jersey starter for sure this season. And it just shows how much he's fallen off completely.
Not to mention that some other teams desperately need a goaltending. Like, literally, even though Kincaid hasn't been doing that great, any team that doesn't have goaltending, there's like three teams like Philadelphia, Calgary, they could take a chance on him because who knows what goalies do in a new situation, right? It just shows like Columbus just went out and got him for nothing, and I'm just surprised that none of the other teams that needed goaltending went after him, because what do you if you give if you give Jarmo Kekalainen a fourth round pick just for the potential of Keith Kincaid bouncing back, I just find it funny. The whole trade is really funny in its own right. Like, it's a 2022 fifth-round pick. It's just a funny trade.
Well, yeah, there's a couple 2022 draft picks sent down. I mean, the next trade we're going to talk about is... on the Keith Kincaid thing really quick, I was kind of surprised San Jose didn't go for him, honestly. That was kind of something that I was like, I really don't know if the Columbus Blue Jackets really need a goalie right now. It kind of looked like, from their perspective, that they were going to move Bobrovsky in training him. So I thought that was
a little bit there.
But, did it. Going back on the 22 fifth-round pick, a 22-second conditional fourth-round pick was traded in the Kevin Hayes trade. Kevin Hayes was traded for Brandon Lemieux, noted pest Brandon Lemieux, a 2019 first-round pick and a 2002 conditional fourth-round pick. Like, how, when they're discussing these trades, are they sitting there thinking to themselves, all right, we're going to give you Brandon Lemieux, a 2014 or 2019 first round pick, is that enough for you, New York Rangers? And they're like, no. you gotta add in something else.
You know what I find
How about
funny
a 2022 conditional
really
fourth
funny.
Round pick? How about that?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the deal maker.
Yeah, that completes the trade. We needed that. That was integral to making the trade.
How do you even come up with this stuff? Like, let's go 3 years in the future.
You know what else is funny? Yeah. You know what else is funny? Even with that condition 2022 fourth round pick, we know that Winnipeg's making the playoffs. Like, it's pretty much a 99% chance. But you know what's funny? Apparently there's a top three protection on that pick. So if Winnipeg somehow misses the playoffs, they somehow win the lottery from like the 14th or 15th slot, it's protected. And I just found that really funny that everyone is learning from Ottawa and Pierre Dorion to protect their pick because it's dumb.
I think that's why nobody was trading first round picks. A, you look how close the playoff race is in the West. Well, in the West, yeah,
besides Columbus.
But you look how close the playoff race is in the West. Any of those teams that made any trades, they weren't going to give up a first round pick. First round picks are gold right now. And especially for that playoff race in the West. So that's why I think this year kind of messed up the market. So you're going to look at next year. You're going to be like, why is there 20 first-round picks being sent around next year? This is why. The market has really been messed up by this playoff race. That's why you look at it. Like, again, people are like, why? How couldn't we have gotten any first-round picks? Well, you could blame the Chicago Blackhawks, Dallas Stars, Colorado Avalanche, and the Arizona Coyotes for that.
Well, the West is so dumb right now. Like, the Anaheim Ducks, quite frankly, couldn't make the playoffs. I mean, not anymore, but like 2 days or 1 week ago, they were probably in the race for it. Like, it's so dumb how all those teams, like, they're all fighting not to make the playoffs. It's really weird.
Yeah, and going on that Hayes deal, though, like, going back on just the trade in general, I feel like it's just a weird trade. Like, I mentioned that in my video, but I feel like it doesn't really, like, I don't think New York really got too much for Kevin Hayes. And Kevin Hayes had a great season with New York. He's a great offensive guy, especially this season. Like, Brendan Lemieux is a pretty bad player, especially in his NHL career so far. I mean, the first round pick is good. That's good to get, but it's not like Winnipeg is going to miss the playoffs or anything.
Don't forget the minor details.
Here.
That could be the next Connor McDavid.
I don't think Brandon Lemieux is that bad, though.
That's like an NHL
19. To a locker room. I know he's not offensively there, but I think he's a decent defensive player. I don't know.
I mean, like, it's New York, though. Why would they need something like that?
Because it was integral for the trade to go through. Okay,
he's still a young guy. He's still, what is he, under 23?
Might as well take a chance.
He's like 22. He was also a first round pick a couple years ago, by the way. And you're right. He was like a 31st overall pick, something like that. I think the potential's still there. And when did he have any opportunity to play in the top six for Winnipeg? Never. He never got the opportunity.
Well, why would you give him that chance?
You're not gonna play him in the top six because you have Laine, Wheeler, Shifley, Little. You know, you have all these guys. Like right
no,
now,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Why would you play him?
He's
going
to get the
six.
Opportunity with the New York Rangers to maybe showcase some of his almost first round talent, which I think is. I just think is what.
Does he even
I think
crack
he does.
The top six?
I think he does. I mean, he's
on the Rangers.
Who else is there?
I mean, don't you want to play your? I would rather play my young guys that they have up, like Philip
Chatham
and what's his name? Shoot, Anderson. Yeah. I would rather play them over a guy like Brendan Lemieux. Maybe you can
put
him on minutes.
Who knows? I mean, it's at this point,
he'll get a shot
in
New York, though.
Like next year, we're going to be like, wow, what a fantastic Brendan Lemieux.
Well, I mean, you are a hockey god. Watch Brendan Lemieux just go off. He's like going off for like 30 points in the last 20 games.
I touched with my finger of hockey godness. All right, moving on. Let's go to the Montreal Canadiens. Jordan Wheel.
Yeah.
Jay, just go ahead.
All right, so I'm not going to go on a rant. It's a pretty...
I'm going to tell you about Jordan Wheel.
It's a pretty simple... yeah. It's a pretty simple trade. They're two centermen. I mean, they both played... Jordan Wheel's played 153 NHL games. Michael Chaput has played 163 NHL games. They're fairly similar. Michael Chaput was up with the main roster this year, and then he had just got sent down. Nothing. He's not a major player, just an AHL top-line guy. Depth centerman. Same thing with Jordan Wheel. The only thing is that Jordan Wheel is really good at face-offs. 2 years ago, this year, he kind of fell off, but he's a good face-off taker. He has some good speed in the neutral zone, is what I've heard. And we had Chaput, who was obviously expendable and created a little bit of value because he played fairly all right on our fourth line. But now that we acquired Nate Thompson and now Jordan Wheel, he's expendable. So just a little depth trade to improve our faceoff taking when he's in the lineup. Because when we are in our defensive zone, the only guy we send out there to win draws is Philip Deneau. And we need, he's a fairly, he's like a second liner on our team. And we need to leave him for like the neutral zone and offensive zone draws. So now we have Jordan Wheel, who hopefully can potentially help out there when he's in the lineup.
Yeah, I kind of like this trade, though, for Montreal. I mean, when it comes to Wheel, he's still, I don't think he's that young. He's like 23 or something.
I think he's 25.
Something like that. But he's not old by any means. And he's not going to be more than like a four for at. He's going to be at max like a third line guy for you. But I still think he can provide some decent offensive depth. Some a little bit of defense. Again, he was almost specializing in faceoffs a couple of years ago. He might bring that back with Montreal, given the shot. But again, giving up Michael Chaput, who we all know is not that great. I mean, an AHLer at best, I feel. For a guy that can have NHL upside, I think Montreal wins this one.
He had a couple good games. Michael Chaput, he had a couple good games up with the main roster, but pretty much just a depth guy. Yeah, you're right.
Did we just talk about Jordan Wheel for 5 minutes?
Yes. Bro, this is what I do. I make things that are small, turn them into big things.
All right, let's go over the
end. All right.
Alex Kerfoot. Yeah, right,
let's go over these trades really quick. I mean, Thomas Yurko to the Florida Panthers for Cliff Poo.
Cliff Poo!
By the way,
what a terrible trade by Carolina. Oh my gosh.
Wait, no.
They traded Jeff Skinner for him.
Wait. I'm pretty sure it was Thomas Yurko for future considerations and then Cliff Poo for future considerations with the same teams, but apparently
so
two separate trades. What the
heck? Never mind.
It's so dumb.
So it's even worse.
So dumb. By the way, Cliff Poo was supposed to be a major prospect, or not a major prospect, but
he was
a pretty
great
sizable,
in the OHL.
He was supposed to hold value in that Jeff Skinner trade, right? He was like a main value guy in that Jeff Skinner trade.
Like the Hurricanes fans are currently cringing right now, saying, yeah.
And now he's getting traded for future considerations, so not a great look.
All right, Calgary Flames acquire Oscar Fattenberg from the Los Angeles Kings for a conditional 2024th round pick. Nothing. Columbus
Nothing.
Blue
Moving
Jackets
on.
Acquire Adam McQuaid. Noted Toronto Maple Leaf. Noted Toronto
noted
Maple
tough
Leaf.
Guy.
Noted he's tough going guy. To the Toronto Maple Leafs.
From the New York Rangers for Julius Bergman, who was a top prospect for the San Jose Sharks a couple years ago. Again, he's fallen off. A 2019
fallen
fourth
off,
round
yeah.
pick, a 2019 seventh round pick. This trade is literally for a top six, seventh defenseman. They're loading up. Columbus loading up for this playoff run. Those are the kind of moves that you need to make.
Well, Murray had been injured. So this is just a little bit of depth, and apparently a lot of playoff teams like the Leafs were wanting him just to bring some size on the back end, and he's a noted tough guy, which GMs love for the playoffs.
San Jose Sharks acquire Jonathan Dahlin from...
Oh my gosh, this trade is so stupid.
Stupid, yeah.
Yes, this trade is just dumb. Like, this trade, oh my gosh. So apparently, the agent of Jonathan Dahlin actually, I think he requested for a trade of his client, of course. But Jonathan Dahlin had a great upside. I think he was a second-round pick from, like, 2016 or something. He had a great Al Svenskan stint. And then he was looked at as a guy that would be a major player in the AHL, would develop for a couple of years, and would be maybe even a top-two guy for the Vancouver Canucks. Like, he was looked at as a guy that could be, like, a top-two center for them. And that was just, he had that potential. potential. He looked like he had that potential, and he still did. I mean, he hasn't had the greatest AHL career so far, but I still thought, like, he's still relatively young. He still had a lot of potential, and Linus Karlsson by no means is a bad prospect. I mean, he's been fine in the Allsvenskan right now, but the guy just is not worth Jonathan Dahlin. Like, all right, the trade makes zero sense.
All right, so let me say something. So apparently Jonathan Dahlin was also very close with Elias Pettersson. So that's a huge thing on its own. So this is from S7 Design, funnily enough. He's just a designer. But Jonathan Dahlin in the D+1 league in Allsvenskan had 44 points in 45 games, while Linus Karlsson in the D+1 league in Allsvenskan had only 17 points in 48 games. So it's a little bit of a rough trade basing it just off that. And Dahlin, Jim Benning had acquired in a great trade in return for Burrows, right? Yeah, it was a great trade. It was like a top-end prospect for Burrows, who wasn't terrible at that time. But it was a great trade.
He was terrible.
It's a dumb trade now.
So, Dahlin, so it was a great trade, and everyone was like, okay, Jim Benning, this is a great trade. Like,
maybe
doing good.
Maybe we're overvaluing Jonathan Dahlin, though. Maybe we're overvaluing.
But on the day... On the day, Jim Benning had been doing some good things with the Tanner Pearson, Eric Rubanson trade. We'll get onto that in a second.
I don't think I'm that disappointed at this, honestly. It's like, I don't think Jonathan Dahlin is, like, I think it's just namesake right now. Yeah.
He's not the be-all, end-all.
The fact that he's friends with Elias Pettersson,
I don't think that makes a difference, though. Friends get traded all the time. I mean, obviously, the Rangers didn't care about Zuccarello and Lundqvist. Obviously, they didn't care about that.
That's true.
Moving on, since we take 20 minutes on these small trades. Boston Bruins acquire Marcus Johansson, or Johnson, depends on what city he's in, from New York, from the New Jersey Devils for 2019 second round and a 2020 fourth round pick.
Fair trade adds size to a Boston Bruins team who also wants to acquire that depth. Pasternak is injured, so maybe he slots in on that first line for now. I think it's a pretty good trade for both sides. New Jersey's rebuilding, so they get some future assets, and the Boston Bruins get another piece for their playoff run.
Exactly, and I'm gonna be a little bit boring with this one because I do agree with you, Jay. I think it benefits both teams, makes sense for both teams. I mean, the Devils were looking for just a second round pick this whole time, and they end up getting an extra fourth round pick, which is good for them. Johansson has had an excellent last month. He's been amazing, and he just climbed that draft or that trade stock, and Boston bit a little bit, but I feel like he'll be decent in that top six.
Bruins suck. No. They're horrible.
It's okay. You'll lose them in the first round again. Leafs fans. In the corner.
The Bruins suck. They'll beat the Leafs
again. When I saw him get traded to the Bruins, I literally imagined like a bunch of cockroaches like with like Leafs logos on top of them. And then the light turns on and it's the Bruins and we all scatter. Like, that's what I literally imagined. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. All right. Winnipeg Jets reacquire forward Matt Hendricks. For Minnesota for a 2020 seventh round pick, because apparently Winnipeg needs more leadership.
More grit.
To the Colorado Avalanche acquiring Derek Brassard, and Jay's favorite team, and a conditional 2026 round pick.
Oh my god!
From the Florida Panthers for a 2020 third round pick.
Okay, so let me just say, I thought this was a fairly good trade for. The Avalanche. I mean, Derek Brassard is like what, a third line? Wow, great.
Good.
So I feel like Brassard is a second/third liner, and you got him for just round pick, and you get back a sixth round pick. So
he'll be under second line center Alexander Kerfoot.
Yeah, bro. So yeah, I said he had potential for. No. I did not say Kerfoot. I said Tyson Jost had potential.
Whoa, that's even worse. Jost in the AHL right
now. Tyson Jost is amazing, and he's like 19.
Oh my god! You know what? I think right now, I think everybody in the NHL is like, whoa, what happened to Derek Brassard? I think Derek Brassard next season is going to have a really good year because everyone's doubting this guy. He's been traded a couple times. Nobody seems to want him. I think he's going to sign a one-year prove-it deal with another team. But right now, with the Colorado Avalanche, they need him to pick it up, and this is crucial for Derek Brassard's career right now to say, hey, if he can help him get into the playoffs, He's going to get a pretty decent deal on his next contract. On to the next one. The Pittsburgh Penguins acquire defenseman Chris Wideman.
We should just group these two together because I want to talk about this Ubergate.
Chris Wideman to the Florida Panthers. Why are all these guys going?
Yo, they were ripping that assistant coach.
He's going to go join Ubergate. What's his name? Hoffman, Florida. For forward, John Jean. Yeah, whatever.
All right, who cares? All
right, Vancouver. Wideman's okay. Acquire Tanner Pearson from the Pittsburgh Penguins for Eric Gudbranson.
Imagine a line of Eric Gudbranson and
Letang.
Let's
just Gudbranson. Please give me it.
All three of them. Crosby and Malkin. That's their power.
Is Eric Gudbranson his last year of his contract?
I just love this trade.
I think he has
for $3 million. Why is that? Why does that do any? I look up Eric Gudbranson first thing that pops up from Pennsburg SB Nation, a blog. Eric Gudbranson does not fix anything.
Oh no, he signed for $4 million
for 2021. What are you doing? You already destroyed your
team. That's a bunch of cap friendly.
Not to mention
Jack Johnson signed for $3 million through 2023.
Did they retain any salary or anything?
No salary retained straight up.
I am just fascinated by what is going through Jim Rutherford's head right now. You trade Tanner Pearson, who was looking like a great fit for them when he came to Pittsburgh in that duo of LA, but you trade for Eric Gudbranson for him.
He's good, right? He's Gudbranson.
I mean, to be honest, it's just a fleecing by the Vancouver Canucks. You get a pretty solid guy in Tanner Pearson for a pretty bad defensive.
Like, Gudbranson is just terrible. Like,
he's bad. Like he's slow. He's not made for this game.
Let's not overvalue Tanner Pearson here. He's 9 goals, 6 assists, 15 points right now.
I mean, he's a decent return for Eric Gudbranson. Yeah,
for Eric Gudbranson, he's like Connor McDavid. If you're comparing him to Eric Gudbranson.
This is like if Carl Alsner was traded for like Antoine Roussel, and Roussel would look like an absolute god.
Plus, Tanner Pearson can slot in as a veteran winger beside all those young guys like Bo Horvat.
But the leadership.
Yeah, he's pretty young, too.
Besser. the leadership.
The grit.
No, but we got to get on to this huge trade. Bogdan Kislevich.
Wow, how did you pronounce that? I would never have gotten that. All right, hold on. Let me try this one. Kislevich.
Have you seen this
player play before? Is that how you know this information?
He's been playing like decent minutes.
I'll be honest,
it's kind of weird.
I'll be honest, I've never heard of this guy, but I was watching Trade Center.
Never
today,
seen this guy in my life. He's 29 years old. He's
by the way, first like, year Jeff O'Neill, O Dog Noodles.
Where did this guy come from?
By the way, Jeff O'Neill, O Dog Noodles. He was like, He said, I'm a professional.
I've never
analyst,
heard of him in my life. I need the hockey DB. Exactly. This guy. Continue this conversation. I need to see where he's playing.
All right. So basically, it's a nothing trade. It's just because Josh Morrissey seems to be injured, and we don't know the extent of it yet. But apparently, he might go down, and they have some depth. But if Morrissey goes down, and then maybe one other guy goes down, you have to insert Kislevich into the lineup. So he's basically just a depth guy for a seventh.
It's a weird trade though, because he was involved. Like Florida was like openly putting him out there. Like teams actually wanted him for some reason. Like, I didn't hear about him until then. Like he played like 50 games, and I didn't even hear about him.
He played 32 games. Bogdan. He was a rushing guy. He's played in the KHL his whole career. He had 16 points last season. So not really. He's just one of those KHL guys who just comes over and try it out.
All right. Why are we spending time on this?
Hold on. Guys, I could get his name on this website. Oh, wait. No, never mind. He just told me I need to upgrade my account.
Anyway, let's move on.
Hold on. So the Nashville Predators acquire forward Mikael Granlund from the Minnesota Wild for forward Kevin Fiala. What?
Minor now, trade.
I actually love this trade for Nashville. I love this trade for Nashville. But the other thing is, I might be in the minority here. I actually like this trade for Minnesota. You're in the minority. Too.
This trade makes zero sense to me. I don't understand. Why are you going to... He's one of your guys. I know you're rebuilding because your team, Churis but why wouldn't terrible. You trade That's Eric why. Staal? Why wouldn't you trade Eric Staal?
Oh yeah, you're talking from Minnesota side. So apparently Who Eric cares? Staal loves them, and they I love don't Eric care. Staal. So that's why.
Oh yeah, Jay hasn't heard about this almost
it
at all.
This makes no sense to me. How just re-sign him in the offseason if you love him so much. Like, get something for him. It's not like he doesn't have a trade. He doesn't have a no movement clause or anything. Move him. Did nobody want Eric Staal? Really? Did nobody want him? I mean, but he loves Minnesota.
But he loves Minnesota, and he's a good character guy.
That's horrible on the GM there, Paul Fenn. Like, how do you not move him?
Why have we mentioned Paul Fenn so much? It's really weird. We've been mentioning him so much.
He's had a weird, interesting month. Like
Michael Granlund, 49 points in 63 games. He's pretty much your top center right now. And you're trading for the potential of Kevin Fiala? Yeah.
He is their top center, no doubt.
Granlund is a winger, by the way.
He has played center before, too.
Yeah,
hockey reference.
I mean, like, I know he plays center. He's playing winger right now because they wanted to just stack that line.
But like for the potential of Kevin Fiala, is that really? I just doesn't like that trade. I know he's 27 years old, but that he's hitting his prime. He's on a decent contract. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. For me, it's a pretty good trade for Nashville, right? But it could if Kevin Fiala is what 22, he could still he has pretty good potential. He's been in the NHL for like most of his career. Like, he's been, like, he's one of those players, like Alex Galchenyuk. He's probably better than Alex Galchenyuk. But he's one of those guys who's got into the league right when he's 18. And even though he's so young, you would think he's, like, older just because of how long he's been in the league and on those good playoff Nashville teams. And I think it's, like, a fairly solid trade. I think, obviously, Nashville is winning right now just because Granlund's so much better. I mean, if Fiala hits his stride, maybe it becomes more fair, but... I agree with you, though. I mean, why wouldn't you trade Eric Staal? Mikael Granlund's obviously your number one. He should be your number one center. I have no idea why they're playing him on the wing. But he's a number one.
Well,
Mikael
Granlund became so good because he was on the wing. And once you transitioned to the wing, it was almost like split. Like he became like a much better player at that point. Kind of like how Raquel isn't really like a winger anymore. Or like he isn't really in a center anymore. He's more of a winger alongside of like Henrique.
Well, either way, it's a good trade for Nashville right now, and who knows what Fiala turns into. But I think it's a trade that obviously Nashville's winning right now. But really, who knows?
I think Nashville. I think we'll talk about who won the trade deadline a little bit later. But I think Nashville has done well for them overall.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Vegas Golden Knights acquire forward Mark Stone. And forward Tobias Lindbergh from Ottawa Senators for defenseman Eric Brännström, forward Oscar Lindbergh, and a 2020 second round pick. I actually didn't even know
Tobias Lindbergh was in that trade. But both these Lindberghs are confusing me.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm like, I didn't even see Tobias Lindbergh. Like, who is he?
Yeah. Anyway, why are we focusing on that? This is a huge trade.
Mark Stone is a Golden Knight, baby!
Before we get into the trade, I just want to get out the way that Mark Stone did resign for 8 years at a cap hit of $9.5 million. That is a huge thing.
Same as Cooch.
That's a huge component to the trade, but he did resign 8 years, $9.5 million.
Yeah, honestly, Mark, I'm so hyped for Mark Stone in Vegas. I'll be going to the game, Dallas Stars versus Vegas Golden Knights, on the 15th, but I'll be able to see Mark Stone and hopefully... a Vegas Golden Knights uniform. It's going to be pretty cool to see. I mean, this whole trade, again, Duchesne was gone. Dezingle was gone. The big guys were gone, but Stone was still left in Ottawa. And the question was, with like 5 minutes remaining, was Mark Stone actually going to get traded? And with time ticking, with pretty much seconds left, we got the Mark Stone confirmation. And it was pretty much like 10 minutes before the deadline.
Yep, 7 minutes, and they traded him then.
Yeah, it was just crazy to see. And like the Vegas Golden Knights, like I when it comes to trade rumors this season, like we haven't heard pretty much anything from them. But in the last week, we started to hear a little bit about them being interested in Mark Stone. I thought it was a pretty amazing fit, honestly, and they go for it. Now, the cost of that is one of the best defensive prospects in the game in Erik Brännström. But to get a guy like Mark Stone in his prime right now is something that Vegas had an opportunity to get a player that good, and obviously Carlson last year. But Mark Stone is amazing, and I feel like he'll be a great fit for a Vegas team that needs goal scoring.
Yeah, and he's a big two-way forward, which helps them out again. I just want to talk about from Vegas' side. I mean, you get Mark Stone, you get him re-signed, which is great, but you give up Erik Brännström, who has had comparisons of being like the left-handed Erik Karlsson, right? He's like a top 10 prospect in the entire league. He is crazy good, and you also get that 2020 second-round pick. I mean, for me, it's like it might be a little much. I probably would have rather got Cody Glass. And someone put a tweet out, I forget who, but it was basically saying, like, although Cody Glass does have potential to be a 1 or 2C, it's easier to draft another Cody Glass than it is another Erik Brännström, just because he's an elite prospect. Again, he compares to being Erik Karlsson, and Ottawa gets Erik Brännström and Thomas Chabot, who's probably going to be their top two pairing for the next little
bit.
That's
going to be so fun. So, yeah,
that's
going
to be cool to see. If I'm Vegas, I probably would have rather traded Cody Glass, but I guess I'm guessing Ottawa was dead set on Erik Brännström. And if you're Vegas with 7 minutes to go at the time on trade day, you just go for it, because you need, now that they're in the playoffs, you really want to go for it. And it's not like they gave up another first-round pick, which is good. They only gave up a 2020 second-round pick. So for me, it's a pretty solid trade both ways. But if I'm Vegas, I'd rather give up Cody Glass.
Yeah, I kind of feel that too. I'm surprised, though, that there was no first-round pick in this. It was kind of
weird
that Vegas
didn't
have to give that up.
He kind of like overlapped, you know what I'm saying? He kind of covered that first-round pick just because
Brännström does that a little bit. I mean, he was just one of the best players by far in the World Juniors. He's looked amazing in the last couple of years. I've always been high on Brännström since he was drafted. I've always loved his offensive potential. He's been fulfilling that so far in the AHL. I think he's going to be an absolute beast with the Ottawa Senators. But I feel like that's the type of player you're going to have to give up if you're going to get a guy like Mark Stone, who, let's face it, he's definitely a top 10, I would say, winger in the NHL. He's proved that this season. And I feel like getting that for the future as well. Mark Stone isn't really old at all either. And I feel like if you're going to give up an Erik Brännström, Mark Stone is the kind of guy you give up.
Yeah, the funny thing is he's a two-way player, yet he's so good. He's an offensive player and puts up points, yet he's so good defensively as well. He kind of compares to a little bit like Blake Wheeler, where he plays a two-way game and a heavy game. Maybe not a grinder, but just he plays very physical, and he's a very playoff player. You know what I'm saying? Like, he plays heavy, and he plays defense, but he still puts up points.
He's perfectly suited for the playoffs.
All right, we defended Pierre Dorion earlier in this podcast about how he's done so well. This is the one trade that I'm going to say that he for all intents and purposes, he's...
Whoa.
He's failed.
Wait. I want to debate you on this.
Honestly.
I'll debate you on this.
I think he's failed the fans of Ottawa just purely on the fact that Mark Stone
he
is the
resign.
One player
okay,
that
I
think...
That.
I know he's going to get you. I know that he's grabbed Brännström. I understand that. But Mark Stone is a leader in that locker room. You have Brady Tkachuk. You have Thomas Chabot. And then who else? You need a player. You need people. You need players to go watch if you're a fan of Ottawa.
Mark Borowicki.
You have nobody
there
anymore.
I'll play devil's advocate. I mean, Mark Stone.
Hold on. Let me finish. You have, since you're trading Mark Stone right now and you're grabbing these prospects, like, again, they're prospects. There's no guarantee that these guys are going to be good in the NHL. I know all the reports. I know all the stuff. I understand that. But you have a solidified top 10 player in the NHL in Mark Stone, and you're not going to keep him on your team after everything that's happened so far with your organization? You're not going to keep him for the fans there? I think that's just a slap in the face if I'm... I think I'm just a – that's just a slap in the face. Like, just resign the guy.
So I want to play devil's advocate.
Like, just resign him.
Mark Stone, I think it was just because they couldn't get a contract done. And that's the only reason that happened is because that didn't happen. I mean, I think if Ottawa, you need – like the Rangers, they kept some players because you need players to play and you need to sell tickets and stuff. But the other thing is when you're acquiring a guy like Eric Branstrom and you did not have a contract negotiation that was seemed imminent, you didn't have that, it seemed like he was just going to walk. You need to get something, and they pulled in a good haul. So I do agree with you in the sense that they needed to keep Mark Stone, and I would say he's the guy they should have kept. But I think that once they were pretty sure he wasn't going to re-sign and they still got a pretty good haul, I think they had to do it at that point just as a business itself. I mean, I don't know where they go with now. I think that, I think Pierre Dorion is just doing his best under Eugene Melnyk. I think Eugene Melnyk is crazy. That's all. I think he
would trade it with the one guy on your team that
has value,
brings fans to your seats. It brings there. And again, I get that, but at the same time, I think Dorion, he couldn't, it just shows that he couldn't close the deal with the one player that they absolutely needed. When you trade a guy like Carlson, you're trading guys like Mark Stone, you're moving to Zingle, guys that are scoring for you, and you don't have a first round pick this season, or you do now with this, with the Vegas Golden Knights, or you don't even get one of the Vegas Golden Knights. You get Eric Branstrom, but again, he's a prospect that you don't know whether or not that's going to pan out. And I think that's scary if I'm a Sens fan sitting there saying, hey, we pretty much got a maybe for Mark Stone, a top 10 player in the league.
When it comes to just the overall situation, it just depresses me because I know some Sens fans, like, it's just depressing to see them just live life because, like, just 2 years ago, they were looking like an amazing team. Eric Carlson was crushing for them. Anderson was looking amazing. The team was phenomenal at the time. And, like, it just sucks because, again, they were at that Eastern Conference Final. They were one goal away from the Stanley Cup Final. And it's just crazy to see how far they've come since then and how far down they've come. It's like the disaster of the team. Yeah, like how it's kind of scientific how far they've gone. It's like it's almost on purpose. Hint, 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 hint. Yeah, it's like in that time, they have done almost every single thing possible to ruin the team that they had. I mean, when you look at that team that almost went to the Stanley Cup Final, like, how many guys are still on that roster that are there today? Like, I bet it's a pretty slim margin because it's just not the same team. It's not the same atmosphere.
And it's just not – it's one goal away from the Stanley Cup Final.
It's been, like, 2 years since then. And, like, pretty much
– exactly. And you only have Craig Anderson there, the goalie, who is on that team now. And it's just,
like, Bobby Ryan still?
Yeah, and they didn't do that. You grab in Marian Gabrick, who's pretty much nothing there. I mean, he's been injured. Like, there's nobody really there. I mean, they're lucky.
How far have they fallen?
Yeah, I mean, they're lucky. They're lucky that, you know, Brady Tkachuk is such a good guy, and he's willing to help them out and wants to be. He looks like he wants to be on that team. So that's he chose to play with the Ottawa Senators versus going back to college, which, you know, good on the kid, and it looks like he's having fun out there, but, like, it does. I mean, but they're going to be losing a lot of games because they don't have anybody there. They're lucky. We mentioned in our last podcast that they have a couple prospects there, but how much impact there? It's a lot of maybes there in Ottawa, and that's what scares me.
No, it's just funny because we were talking about how bad their lineup looked because they obviously kept Dzingel, Duchene, and Stone out of the lineup, right? Just because they were considering trading them, and now they did just so to avoid injury. And when you look, everyone's looking at that team, is like, this is literally not an AHL team. Like, it's an AHL team. Guys like Colin White and stuff shouldn't be on the team. They should be down in Belleville. By the way, Belleville is having an amazing year. But either way, it's like, This is pretty bad. It's a pretty bad look.
Yeah, and they've come a. It's just like it's bad luck mixed with bad moves. I mean, just again mentioning the Jonathan Dahlin trade earlier. They got Alex Burrows, and that whole experiment did not go too well. And
no, it's also just like It just, why would Mark Stone want to stay? And that's ultimately why they ended up trading him. Obviously, they got a good haul back, but it's just because Mark Stone did not want to stay in that thing. The only thing I would say is Mark Stone would actually still be like 32 once they probably would be back to being okay. But I think now that he's entering his prime, he wants to be with a good team like Vegas, who's proven that they're not just a miracle team. They've proven that they're more than that, which is cool. But yeah, again, just a tough thing to see in Ottawa, and it's kind of like, what are you going to do? You have Eugene Melnyk as your owner. The only way this ends up, the only thing that was good about the Ottawa Senators is that Eugene Melnyk shut up. Like, that's the only thing that was good, is that he stopped talking to the media. Because remember, it was during that outdoor game that he just started talking. Everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? So I guess that's that for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah,
they're in for a rough period.
I feel like, though, with Mark Stone, honestly, I feel like if he wanted to re-sign, he would have. Like, I feel like that contract extension would have happened if he actually wanted to be there. I feel like with the Ottawa management, especially Eugene Melnyk, he probably wanted to keep Mark Stone there, at least personally, trade everybody else. But I feel like they wanted to keep Mark Stone, but I'm not sure if Mark Stone just wanted to be there. I mean, we saw the heart and soul that he put into the team earlier in the season when they weren't absolutely terrible. But it's just not a good team. It's not a good team going forward.
Yeah.
They got some decent prospects. They got some good picks now with all the trades that they've made. But it's just not a cause that's worth being there for him. And it's something that it's just a lost cause. And for a player that is into his prime, is going to start exiting it in a couple of years, it's the time to win now is now. And I feel like Mark Stone feels that way as well. And Vegas is a great place to go to. I mean, they haven't had the best regular season, but they still are pretty big contenders in that Western Conference and could still do something big. So I don't really see why Mark Stone would stay there. And I feel like if he did, the deal would already be done.
The thing is, everyone says it's a con. The issue is here is that in this situation, if it was a different owner but everything else was the same, you would say, oh, maybe at the draft it's the low. No matter what, at the draft it's going to be the lowest point. No matter if they get Capo Caco or Jack Hughes with that pick, Colorado, that's going to be the lowest point. And then if it wasn't Eugene Melnyk, you could say, oh, let's look forward to free agency because we can spend some money and maybe get back a guy like Matt Duchene. But the issue is you have Eugene Melnyk as your owner, and he's not willing to pay anybody. Even Erik Karlsson, one of the best defensemen in the game, he wasn't willing to pay. And now you can't even look forward to free agency to fix everything.
Yeah.
You're going to have to. Yeah.
I like how the youth is trending towards Ottawa, but I just feel like it's going to be a lost cause again, because once they start getting a little bit competitive and once things start looking up for them just a little bit, maybe next year they're a little bit better with the youth. But with guys like Brady Tkachuk, guys like Thomas Chabot, like, I'm just worried that the same thing is going to happen to them all over again. Just a bad situation.
I want to bring this up too.
Yeah.
Is that maybe when they get good and they get to want to sign their contracts, what if they opt out too because they're like, yo, our owner's crazy and we're going nowhere. Why would we want to re-sign? Like, Mark Stone's only 26. He's relatively young, and he still left. Because usually in the NHL, there's a thing about having this loyalty, but who would be loyal to a guy like Eugene Melnyk?
Yeah, like, there's no reason to be. Like, Thomas Chabot and Brady Tkachuk, like, those are probably the two guys going forward that will have the most success. But I just don't see any reason for them to stay, for them to go to the team that is obviously cancerous around Eugene Melnyk. Like, the problem is obvious there. It's kind of like with Edmonton and having the problem of Daryl Cates just managing everything and mismanaging everything. Like, the problem there is the owner. And until it goes away, I don't think things will really, truly change.
There's also a horrible issue in Ottawa with communication. So first off is the fact that they are not willing to say that they're going to rebuild. Like, we were watching, I don't know if you guys are watching, but I was watching Pierre Dorion's presser, and he's saying next year they're going to contend and all of this stuff, and they don't. There's a lack of communication there between the fans and the consumers. Like, it's a business between the consumers and ownership and management there. And there's a little bit of a lack of communication there, which is really hurting them because they keep lying. I'm saying lying loosely, but they keep lying to their fans. And like when Eugene Melnyk says, oh, we're going to pay in 2020, that's when we're going to start spending money and everything like that. There's a little bit of a lack of communication, loosely using the word lying to your fans and to your consumers. Where, why would you trust that Eugene Melnyk would spend money then? Like, why wouldn't he just spend money now? It's a horrible situation. So just basically, sorry, Ottawa. That's it.
Yeah, it's not good. And we're also having technical difficulties. Nico might not be here for the rest of it. Rip. His computer just crashed, so that's fun. But we don't have too many more trades to talk about. We got the great blockbuster trade of Michael Delzato to the Anaheim Ducks for a sixth-round pick. Whoa, or to the St. Louis Blues, never mind. I'm dumb.
Basically, the St. Louis Blues just want to acquire a bit of depth before they make that playoff run, as they went on that 10-game win streak, or 11-game win streak, my bad. They just want to acquire a little bit of depth for a late pick. I'm quickly just going to speak for Nico on the Leafs trade when they acquired
Blockbuster.
Nick Batan in return for Paul Lindholm. Paul Lindholm was a fourth liner who played fairly well, but Nick Batan basically just brings a little bit more offensively and is basically the same defensively. And I was watching the Kyle Dubas presser, and he said that he's going to bring Nick Batan up to the Leafs. He said he was a Leaf, and he's not going to put him down the Marlies for like a stint, I guess. He's going to be up at the Leafs no matter what. That's at least what he said. Here, let's just skip through these this last nothing trade pretty much. The Winnipeg Jets acquired defenseman Nathan Beaulieu from Buffalo Sabres in return for a six-round pick.
Pretty solid another, Winnipeg.
Yeah, another depth trade. Again, Josh Morrissey going down, like I said before. Going down to injury, you might need a guy like Nathan Beaulieu to slide into the lineup. So another just depth, depth defenseman acquiring from a playoff team.
Yeah, I like Beaulieu, though. I think he has decent potential. I mean, he won't get a lot of ice time in Winnipeg, that's for sure. But you didn't have to give up too much for him. Sixth round pick, I would say. It's a little bit of a steal for Winnipeg, but I would say it's about fair. And
yeah. He's 26. Yeah. He brings a lot offensively, but he's not great in his own end. But you know what? It's a pretty solid trade.
Yeah, moving on to the officially last trade of the day. Wayne Simmons goes to the Philadelphia Flyers. Or to the Nashville Predators. Yeah, and this trade, it's kind of funny because Wayne Simmons was all... Like, this trade just, it doesn't really make sense for me.
This blows my mind. Yeah. This really blows my mind.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for Philadelphia, like, whatsoever.
Okay, so here, I'm going to play devil's advocate again.
Ooh.
But the only... Here's what I think. I think that they knew Wayne Simmons wasn't going to resign July 1st. Okay, let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
So you only have him for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, Philadelphia is most likely not going to make the playoffs.
I don't think so.
So basically, he's a waste, right? He's just a weight on their team because now they're not going to make the playoffs, so they don't really need him. And if he's going to leave after these last 15 games, that's all they're going to get out of him. So, I think once they got Ryan Hartman, just another solid young guy. I wouldn't say solid. He could be a third liner for you, 22 years old, and a conditional 2020 round pick. I think once they realize they're only gonna, let's say Philadelphia keeps them. They only get 15 games out of him. So I think that they left this till the end of the deadline, which was a mistake. And by that time, teams were like, okay, you need to trade him now.
Yeah.
So we're gonna give you like nothing, and you're gonna have to take it.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious with this trade that Philadelphia was the team that had the leverage just a couple of days ago, and then that leverage was completely gone by the last few minutes of the trade deadline. I mean,
just time, just father time.
Yeah, this really was the last deal of the deadline, so Philadelphia took their sweet time to get this thing done, and Nashville really, really reaped the rewards. I mean, Ryan Hartman was a guy that they traded for last year that was their trade deadline deal. He didn't really work out.
For a first-round pick. It was one of those trades where you're like, kind of what? So, first-round pick, they acquired him, and now they're flipping him for Wayne Simmons. So, I think Nashville did great in this trade, but for Philadelphia, they really kind of screwed it up here, though.
Like, Hartman is young, I will give him that, but when it comes to Philadelphia, they don't need him. They need younger guys.
They should not have waited as long as they did. I think the issue is that Mark Stone's trade was 7 minutes left, right? And I think what they were trying to do is they wanted Mark Stone to get out of the way so that Wayne Simmons became the new big fish, right? But they left it too long because Mark Stone took so long, and that made them, again, teams were like, okay, you're only going to get like 10, 15 games out of him. So what do you want? Like, we'll give you a young player in a 2024. Now I'm just gonna relate this to the Habs real quick. I'm really upset that we did not offer them more, just because we have so much cap space and we can definitely re-sign a guy like Wayne Simmons. And it's like, oh, why didn't you Wayne Simmons? Well, why not? I mean, if you look at what we gave them, I would be fine with giving them Arturi Lehkonen and let's say a third round pick.
Hot take there.
Because it's a hot take, but I just think, why not, right? We're making it to the playoffs. Wayne Simmons is perfect for that. And let's be honest, like, Lehkonen hasn't scored for 24 games, and he's a very good player to get into the position to score, but he never does. And it's like, why not offer them a little bit more? And I'm not upset at it, because it's fine that we didn't get him. I'm just saying we could have done it. It's an option, but I'm not, like, upset that Mark Bergevin did that.
Yeah, when it came to the trade rumors surrounding Simmons, though, it was seeming like he was going to get, like, a first-round pick at least. Like, they were
a first-round pick and a prospect.
Yeah, like, his trade value just, like, a week ago seemed, like, out of the roof that, like, Philadelphia could get, like, a first-round pick and a decent prospect. Like, compared that to what they got now, I mean, Hartman is not bad, but you get a fourth-round pick in 2020. Like, go ahead, Philadelphia, but, like, when it came to their trade value just plummeted, and in that last few minutes again teams started to realize that yes, they kind of have to make this deal now, and Nashville kind of pounced on that a little bit. They get their with Nashville, I think it is pretty underrated trade for them, because while I'm not the biggest fan of Wayne Simmons as an overall hockey player, I like his personality, but when it comes to him as a hockey player, when it comes to Nashville, I think it's actually a decent fit, though. I mean, they need playoff experience, yeah, but guys that can perform in the playoffs. Wayne Simmons has done that. He brings some physicality, brings some scoring touch that he has in the past. Remember, he was a 2017 NHL All-Star Game MVP, so he has some talent.
Yeah, the issue was that they knew Wayne Simmons was expendable because he plays the same role as JVR, and they had just given him that contract right last year in the summer, so they knew he was expendable in the first place, but they were still going to get a first-round pick and, like, a B-level prospect, but they let time slide, and then teams knew. Like, you have 15 games, or you're just going to let him go for free, so we'll give you a third, but Nashville came with a Ryan Hartman and 2024 round pick, and they basically fleeced Wayne Simmons away from the Philadelphia Flyers. Now that we are done with the trades, let's move on to a few other topics here. Let's go quickly on to who won the trade deadline, Graf.
Ooh, again, I talked about this before the podcast, but to me, this year's a little bit of a weird one, because there was a lot of trades, but I wouldn't say there was
big,
a lot.
There's a lot of names. Yeah. There's a lot of names traded and a lot of big names traded.
Yeah, it was a pretty big one, and there was a lot of downtime. Like, there was like 2 hours in there where there was just nothing whatsoever.
Yeah, from one, it was basically from like 12:30. To 2:30, nothing really
happened.
Yeah,
nothing happened whatsoever, and then these, like, big bombs come out. Mark Stone is traded. Wayne Simmons. Granlund for Kevin Fiala. Like, it just, in, like, the matter of, like, 10 minutes, it became one of the most busiest trade deadlines that we've seen.
The funny thing is that nothing happened for 2 hours, and then that last time, these trades started flooding in.
Like,
And because they flooded in, Central Registry, like, the NHL, like, trade call place, was backed up. That we were still hearing trades at, like, 4:30.
Yeah.
Because, the league was so backed up just because every team had made trades right at the end instead of during those 2 hours, which is weird.
Yeah, and I was ready, like, during, like, the last 20 minutes, I was ready to prepare. I was preparing to call it a boring trade deadline, because at that point, it totally was. But in the last five minutes...
All that happened was the Duchene trade, yeah.
Yeah, in the last 5 minutes, it totally redeemed itself. I mean, Stone, ground for Fiala. It really just worked out for them.
Okay, so... Again, back to the original question. I don't know how we just...
We went totally off topic of that one.
Yeah, we're totally off topic. We need Nico here to keep us off topic.
True.
With the two children.
But yeah, when it came to the winners of the trade deadline, again, I just don't see a clear winner from this group right now. I just don't see that. When it came to last year's trade deadline, I would say the New York Rangers won that. It's looking pretty good for them right now. They got a lot of picks and prospects for their first year of the rebuild. But to me personally, I kind of have to go for the Predators by default, because that Mikael Granlund Fiala trade,
I think it's okay for Minnesota, but I feel like Nashville definitely got off well there, and that Wayne Simmons trade will definitely help them. But the bar was kind of set low because there was a lot of teams trading for a lot of things, and it was there wasn't like a clear cut winner where this team made so many trades and they all looked well for them for the past or in the future or whatever it might be. But I feel like this year I would say Nashville. It is close with a couple of other teams, maybe San Jose, but I feel like Nashville wins it.
Okay, so I agree with you that Nashville won it. That was going to be my thing, but it seems like the default thing this year is because they fleeced the other teams, right? I mean,
yeah.
The Grandland for Fiala trade is great, and then obviously the Simmons trades are great. But because you said that, I had two things going just in case someone else said Nashville, just because I think we all knew that they were the winners after the fact. So my other thing is, it's actually not a team, it's a fan base. The Columbus Blue Jackets fan base won this deadline.
I can agree with that.
You cannot tell me they didn't. They now have... At least they're probably going to make the playoffs now, which means they get an extra 4 weeks of hockey.
I sure hope
they do. Extra week of hockey, or extra couple weeks of hockey. The Bars will get some extra money, you know what I mean? And I think that, you know, basically they just get – and hold, with this team, I think they could take a round, you know, and win their first round in franchise history. And that's just a huge win for the fans. So I think that's just that helps, you know?
Yeah, and that's just a winner for Columbus, though. Like, this was looked at as a year that, like, especially leading up to the trade deadline, that Columbus and, like, or with Panarin, like, and Bobrovsky, those are two guys that were thought to be traded all this time. And it was looked at as a year that Columbus might retool, like, maybe miss the playoffs and go for it the other year. But when it came to Panarin and Bobrovsky, I am pretty glad that they didn't trade him. While they could have gotten a ton of assets, obviously, I feel like for the Columbus Blue Jackets, going for this year is smart for them. They got a lot of solid young players, a lot of great middle-aged players like Bobrovsky, Panarin, obviously. But I feel like going for this year is smart, and the Columbus Blue Jackets obviously have a hunger of getting past that first round. And I feel like this year, unless they face the Tampa Bay Lightning, they might do it.
Okay, so now let's move on to which teams lost. I think it's pretty obvious, but go for it.
Ooh, this one... There's a few.
There's definitely a few, but I think there's... I'll go first. Just going on with the fan base. Ottawa's fan base. Get ready for a rough year. Get ready for a period like the Leafs before they drafted William Nylander and Mitch Marner. Get ready for a period of a lot of losing and a lot of rebuilding. But again, look at the Leafs now. It's going to be worth it at some point. It's always fixable. It just depends on how long. That's always the question. So I think, unfortunately, the Ottawa Senators fan base will have to struggle for a bit because, again, they literally traded their top three goal scorers who were all UFAs. And now, Brady Tkachuk, you have to look forward to is their leading goal scorer 14 goals.
Yeah, when it comes to Ottawa, like, there was, I remember some sites saying that they might win this deadline, but for them to be put in the position to trade guys like Duchesne, Stone, and Dzingel and make it seem okay, like, that isn't a good position to be put in. That's not a winning situation. I mean, you got some good prospects back, but to be stuck in that position of trading all of those guys and having to do that, that's not a winning situation. That's not a winning trade deadline. And I know a lot of fans that will probably agree with that. But with the Ottawa Senators, they were put in that situation, and I just don't see them winning this trade deadline. I've seen that a couple of times, and it kind of just aggravates me because of what they've had to go through, especially in the last year.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to say, speaking of the Columbus Blue Jackets and how they're embracing this going for it, and I like Arma Kekalainen betting on his own team, saying, let's go for it, let's make the playoffs, and let's make a cup run. Same thing with the New York Rangers, who are doing the opposite, but they're their team that Ottawa should be looking at. They're doing the rebuild right. They sent that letter out to their season ticket holders saying, we're going to do a change. We're usually always going for it, but we're going to be rebuilding our team to compete in the future. They've had great communication between their fans, between management and their players, and they all know, like, everyone knows what's going on. And I say this every podcast, the worst place you can be is where you don't know where you are, when you're Florida, when you're in that team where you don't know who you are. So Columbus, they've stated that they're going for it. New York is saying that we're embracing the rebuild and that we're gonna kind of sell off pieces, and the thing is, they kept some pieces because you need to keep that locker room alive, and they're losing games like 4-3, 3-2, so they're in games, but they're losing, which is how you want to lose when you're in this situation. They're embracing the rebuild, and I think that team should look at them as a to learn when you're doing this whole rebuilding thing, I think they're doing it perfectly.
Yeah, for me, like, I feel like with Ottawa, you do get Brännström, who is going to be great for them. You do get those prospects, but again, just being put in that situation, it kind of just sucks. Now, we're going to bring on Franz now. He is one of the moderators on my channel. He's from Denmark, and he's a big Wild fan, and it hasn't been the best time for him this trade deadline. So we're going to bring him on for a few minutes and have him share his thoughts with you guys. Today we have Franz, one of the moderators on my channel. He's going to be talking about, or we're going to be discussing some of the Wild trades, some of the Wild news that the Wild made over the deadline in the past week. Of course, the big trade of Coyle and the big trade of Mikael Granlund and Kevin Fiala. He'll probably have a lot to say, and it's going to be a lot of interesting this time around. Franz, I'll let you introduce yourself to all the beauties listening.
Thank you very much, Grab. It's a pleasure to be on here, first of all, and yeah, definitely. I'm Frederick, or Mr. Francis Graf refers to me as on his Discord. I'm an avid Minnesota Wild fan who had probably one of the more rough days, to be honest, if we have to be blunt about that. It's been a long day, and a long day with a lot of trades and a lot of action from Fenton, especially, and the Jets and all of the other, but mainly Fenton for me has been the focus point. And I do YouTube videos, I do reactions towards the Wild's games this season, been doing it a little bit a la what Steve Dangles did, what Graf has done last year, and kind of seeking out to be a little bit of that kind of Minnesota Wild reactor in the way.
Yeah, definitely. And go support him, Frederick Franzen, just on YouTube. You'll find him. He just made a trade video about the Kevin Fiala and the Kevin Fiala and Granlund trade, and it was pretty entertaining, so I definitely recommend it. But we're gonna get straight into it, and we're gonna talk about the two big trades the Wild made today, and we're gonna get this perspective from Frederick as well on his opinions. But of course the first big one that the Wild did on February 20th was trading Coyle to the Bruins for Ryan Donato and a pick.
Yeah, and that was a trade where I think this was the sign that the Wild rebuild for the Minnesota Wild had started, because we traded Coyle, who is an older guy who is starting to reach his prime, who was doing all right with the Wild, but not really getting that much better throughout time as we were hoping for, especially considering the guys we traded for him, especially Brett Burns.
Yeah.
Where we got David Sedaguchi and Charlie Coyle back, which was, let's be honest, a mistakenly bad trade throughout a lot of reasons. That trade did not turn out, and I think, unfortunately, Charlie Coyle got a really bad reputation from the Wild because of that trade and who he was traded for, and the fact that he never really panned out as well as Brett Burns, I think kind of hindered him a little bit in the Wild's vision, because we were expecting big things. We were expecting a big prospect with a lot of upside and being able to be strong, get down into the gritty areas, get in front of the net, make the tips, be a little bit like a JVR player. Didn't happen, and he was good, but never great, and I think that ended up eventually costing him a little bit in the standing of the staff as well, and in terms of Bruce Boudreau especially, I don't think he trusted him that much in the end. So Finland had to make a move, and he got Ryan Donato and a decent pick, in my opinion, for him, and I think that was a good haul from Finland. That was one of his best trades, and probably the best major trade that he made, unless you want to count the trade for Hunt or Arberg.
Yeah, I mean, those kind of count, I guess.
With
Charlie Coyle, like, going back on your statement, I kind of agree with that. He was good, but never quite great, and that's kind of symbolic of just the Minnesota Wild franchise. I mean, they've been good over the last few years, but just not great. Just good. I mean, they're there.
It's not wrong. He went through the massively weird Colorado Avalanche in 7 games. That was just, that team was weird, the Colorado Avalanche. They were riding the highest PDO of the league.
Yeah.
It was a Patrick Waugh's coach. It was such a strange series. But yeah, that was a thing where we went for them. We had a good chance against the Blackhawks, but unfortunately just didn't make it to the third round, where I think we would have done well. And unfortunately, that just was kind of our highs at that point, because we always went up against the Blackhawks and just got killed. Like,
yeah, and then the Blackhawks, like, the Wild were just good in the Blackhawks' prime and, like, the St. Louis's prime. And that was, they were kind of like the third team there in the Central almost all the time. Like, they just couldn't get past those two. And that, again, that's kind of the same thing, like, with that last year. And again, they played Winnipeg, and it just seemed like they were okay, but again, just not good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Has this been meaning we have that Parise that we actually signed a few years ago, where we have a player who has a decent shot, and he's just not scared of anything. Zach Parise is a player who's small, but he's just not scared of anything. He goes to the areas where it hurts. He's in front of the net. He's such a good deflector and redirector of the puck, and he's always there. He's always getting those dirty little goals and always shooting from like sharp angles and somehow getting it in. And he's been really good, Zach Parise. I've been so impressed by him. He's been probably one of our best players, bar probably a guy that most of the Minnesota Wilds fans kind of want to burned to a stick at this point due to his recent lack of form. Devin Dubnyk, who I think in the start of the season had a fantastic year as well.
Yeah, with Zach Parise, though, it's kind of been impressive how well he's returned. Again, he's been brittle by injuries in the past few years, but I've really liked him this season. He's bringing a lot of punch, and he's not over yet. That contract, it's getting better, but it's still not quite there yet. You probably want to see a little bit better from him to really redeem that contract, but I still think that Zach Parise has been a pretty good player this season. Now, going back on that Coyle trade, I still find it pretty interesting, because I think he's played a couple of games with the Bruins so far, but we've seen a little bit of Ryan Donato with Minnesota so far, and he's played quite well personally.
Oh, Ryan Donato's been great. Ryan Donato's been exactly the type of player we needed for a long, long time, because he has that really good shot, and I think he's always possessed that. But once you give him ice time, once you give him playmates like Conan and Ek, who is really good passers and really good, gritty players who is able to actually give him the puck in the right areas, he's going to be able to shoot. But one thing I have been very impressed with has been his vision as well. He isn't just that shooter that I thought we were getting, a worse Patrick Laine, but he's actually able to pass the puck really, really well. He's been able to find Ek and Conning. That line has just been working. And it's like one of the lines has clicked, and it kind of showed off last game against the St. Louis Blues, where he, in overtime, just randomly gets the puck, like, sharp angle. You know what? I'm Donato. I can just score from here. Just snipes it on, you know, Jake Allen, who has been probably a Wild killer and a nightmare for me for a long, long time. He always seems to play well against us for some reason.
Okay, so just to give the people a little bit of like facts here. In 3 games with the Minnesota Wild, he has 4 points, 1 goal, 3 assists. And that's just with 15 minutes of ice time per game with the Wild. Like, if you give him like a few more minutes even, he could do even better. And it's just crazy. Exactly, Paul Fenton did great with that trade, but moving on to a trade that we would probably say he did do that great in this trade, he traded Mikael Granlund.
I was actually really liking the fact that Minnesota potentially was going to get him. However, at that point, I thought it was going to be for somebody like Suka, and maybe get something in return, like a pick for that. I did not expect it to be for Granlund, who I think is a much better player in this trade, because as you said, he is not even arguably our best player. He is our best player offensively. He's able to dangle his way out of a shoebox and then just for good measure put the puck on his stick and then like cross it into the back of the net from a angle that is just impossible. We saw that in the World Junior Final in, I think it was 2011 or 2011. Like that's a beautiful number, isn't it? But in 2011, I think it was, in the juniors, he basically played against Russia in a gold medal game, 0-0, we go into overtime, puts it on his own stick and behind the net scores the game winner.
Right, yeah.
How do you do that in like an instant? I don't get that, but that just shows what kind of skill Granlund has, and at the same time, vision of the game. He's such a smart player, and he was kind of the pinnacle of the Minnesota Wild's hope and Dreams, when we also had Zach Parise and Pseudosign, we thought that Grandin would be that spark, that young spark that would take and help these two guys win the cup for Minnesota.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I thought Mikael Granlund was going to be he's a little bit older. He's like 26 or 27, but I thought he was still going to be the future in Minnesota. I don't really expect Minnesota to be rebuilding for like 3 or 4 years. I see them kind of retooling and trying to get back and be in a year or two. But Mikael Granlund was the guy to be the leader in that, I thought. And giving up on him so early is something that I didn't expect. I mean, they're getting younger with Kevin Fiala, but I just don't see it really being worth it for them.
The only thing is that they do save a little bit of money, but I don't think that little bit of money saved is worth the difference of Fiala versus Granlund. Again, to give you some numbers, Granlund has 49 points, 63 games, 15 goals, 34 assists, and I mean, even though he's 4 points behind Parise, he's probably by far your best player.
One thing is what he does on the ice. He's great.
Probably a fan favorite. I don't know, because I'm not a Wild fan, but seems like a fan favorite in Minnesota.
Doing that spectacular thing where he just magically finds a way to put it in where there's just not a more room than a puck-sized hole between the shoulder and the net. But it just works well with Grandin. And he's also that kind of interesting guy off the ice. He's always making pranks. He's always the guy that kind of speaks to the media, makes the funny interviews. He's always that outgoing guy that we kind of meant to have. And there was a reason why a lot of people kind of referred to Minnesota a little bit as Finnesota. And that was mainly because of him and his antics off the ice and how big of a front page picture he was in the city. So it's definitely a hard blow to lose that kind of character in the town.
Yeah, I agree with that definitely. And Minnesota's having an interesting season. They are kind of in the playoff race, but it's a year that they are smart to retool a little bit. But it was
everyone
is
in the playoff
time
race
to have
in the Central.
On the podcast for sure.
Literally everyone is in the playoff race in the Central, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota is kind of there by default a little bit.
Basically, we all in this because Anaheim forgot how to play hockey for like a good 20 games straight.
Yeah, pretty much. John Gibson stopped being a god, basically, at that point. But the Minnesota Wild are still somewhat in the playoff race. But I think these, besides the Granlund trade, which I still don't think makes too much sense, I feel like just the moves overall are trending towards the direction of the rental and the rebuild phase, which I'm pretty sure, Franz, you like that part.
I like the rebuild part. This is definitely a sign of the rebuild, because why would you trade your best offensive player, who isn't necessarily that old even? He's like 26, I think, Granlund, but he isn't that old. It doesn't make sense to like trade him for a guy that's 4 years younger if you aren't going to rebuild at this point, or at least retool for the time when Caprizov comes. This is definitely a sign of Fenton going, right, we have to try and rebuild. This core was going stale, this core didn't work, we have to try something new, and that's definitely a sign of that. Also, the fact that he was trying to trade Zucker to Calgary, I don't necessarily know at this time what it was that made that fall through, but there was definitely talks about that happening.
Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see how Minnesota moves forward, what guys they trade. I mean, we saw Zucker almost getting traded at this trade deadline to Calgary, so they're going to be pretty interesting to see going forward, but that'll probably end this segment. Franz, let me know how everybody else can find you.
Oh, they can all find me on YouTube, first of all, on Frederick Franzen, and just find the Danish flag with the Minnesota Wild logo in the middle. That's basically my avatar on there. On Twitter, my hashtag, or not hashtag, sorry, I don't have a hashtag yet, I'm not that famous. My, what is it called actually?
My ad
is Mr. Friends, Mr./_Friends, 2603. And yeah, I tweet a lot there about a lot of few Danish things, but also a lot about the Minnesota Wild. I will let you know whenever I have a video up, whenever I discuss one thing or another in terms of the NHL and the Minnesota Wild as well.
Yeah, definitely a great person to have for the first guest on the podcast for sure. But thanks for coming on, man.
Really do appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on, and fantastic podcast once again. So.
No problem. Great awesome. To have you on. But that'll be it for this segment. We'll be going on to the second part of the podcast, which will probably be about 30 minutes or so.
Okay, that was a great segment. Thank you to France and Grav. Now for our last topic, I guess all we have is the Edmonton Oilers doing nothing.
Pretty much, yeah.
So we all were expecting something to happen in Edmonton. They said they were buyers, so we're like, okay, what are you guys going to do? Buy, do your thing, do something at least. And then a lot of us were like, that's what they were supposed to do. Like, that's what they said they were going to do. And then us fans were like, okay, you should sell. But they didn't do either. They were the one
team. Edmonton just didn't do anything.
Yeah, they're the one team that held at the deadline, and they were not supposed to. You should have sold. And then when people said you guys are going to buy, we're like, okay, buy for the future or buy players who will be here for then and the future. So sure, buy. But they didn't do anything. I can see teams like Tampa Bay and the Montreal Canadiens and the Islanders all like holding where they are because they've all done way better than they were expected to. So you might as well go with that team. And again, like Tampa Bay, even though then first they're way better than anyone expected them to be. Like, this is a record pace, so it makes sense for them to hold. Why in hell is Edmonton holding? This is the worst.
I have no idea.
Like,
just with Edmonton, they get more and more baffling. Like, I know that they were tight to the cap. I know that. They don't have a lot of movable contracts right now. I know that. But when it comes to this Edmonton Oilers team, leaving it put is not going to do anything. You got to take action with this team. You got to do something with it. Because with the way they're playing right now, I mean, they're playing worse than they did the start out the season, which is an insult. Like, they're just... It's just crazy how dysfunctional it's become. And when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, it's just not going to fix itself. You can't leave that team the way it is. You can't leave Milan Lucic. You can't leave Chris Russell. You can't leave Adam Larson on that team.
I can't believe and expect it to all Alex come magically Chiasson. Back. That's a guy who had value. You could have traded him. Alex Chiasson. You know what's funny?
No there way he's going to play as good as he has this season next year. Zero chance.
There was also some interest in Chris Russell, right? A left-handed defenseman. Who was solid and on the worst contract ever. You could have moved a guy like him. But nope, they did nothing.
If you can get a 2022 seventh round pick, you trade Chris Russell right now.
So anything.
You'd be dumb not to.
If someone tells you they'll take Lucic at $3 million because you can only
Yeah, retain salary
only,
on that.
Exactly. I don't know why I can remember the word retain. But you could retain salary. You can only retain 50%. But you retain salary, you give them a third round pick, and you get back a seventh round pick. You do that. But they did absolutely zero. They didn't even make a minor trade. Ugh.
Yeah, and they didn't do anything. Like, zero, literally zero.
All right, that's it. Just looking at their team stresses me out, and I'm so glad I'm not an Oilers fan.
Yeah, like, the Edmonton Oilers are my top 10 favorite teams, and it sucks. It just plain sucks. I mean, to see how fun the team was just 2 years ago when they made the playoffs, like, it's crazy. Like, it's kind of like the Ottawa Senators, not as bad, but it's just... They were kind of coming in this situation back when they signed guys like Milan Lucic. They made that Taylor Hall for Adam Larson trade. It worked out for 1 year, but then the reality kind of hit for Edmonton. And they haven't done really anything to fix it.
Well, Connor McDavid
now they're trying to trade Puljujarvi to fix it, and it's just become that bad.
And Puljujarvi is the guy you need because when you're paying your first and second line center, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, because everyone looks at Pittsburgh and Washington when you need to have two good centers like Toronto this year, and then you need to keep those guys as your core, and then you need to rotate young guys like Gensel. Now they just signed him to that contract, but you have to find
guys. He's part of their core now.
Yeah, you have to find guys who are young and on like pretty good contracts to surround them with, and that's a guy like Jesse Puljujärvi, and you're trying to trade him, which is fine, but you have to add Milan Lucic into that deal and get something.
Edmonton's like, it's kind of funny that Edmonton's need is young, cheap forwards, and Jesse Puljujärvi is a young, cheap forward.
But he's on
the
trade block.
Aren't using him. They aren't playing him. He's like 20 years old. He is the brightest thing that you've had, or the brightest prospect, I would say, since you had Connor McDavid.
By the way,
he literally was he was going to be the third overall pick. Then Columbus picked Pierre-Luc Dubois, which is obviously a pretty good pick, looking back on it. But Puljujärvi still has potential. He is still seriously young somehow. But, like,
somehow,
it's almost taking years off of his life what you're doing to him in Edmonton.
The issue is that teams need to learn patience. Look at the Blues. They were patient, and look at where they took them. Look at the Dylan Strome trade. They, for some reason, Arizona gave up on Dylan Strome, and now he's a point-per-game player in Chicago. You see what I'm saying?
A pair of Alex DeBrincat. He's nasty.
Yeah, so you have to be patient with these players. Wait until they're 23 to see what they are, because Dylan Strome is 21, and now he's going off. You have to wait. You have to be patient, and then you'll find out what these roster players do. Everyone's expecting every prospect to be Austin Matthews and Elias Pettersson. Actually, Elias Pettersson is a prime example of not playing them in the NHL right away. Like, everyone's expecting...
Elias Pettersson is the same age as Puljujarvi.
Everyone's expecting Matthews. Everybody's expecting 4 goals, first game, elite number one center right away. That does not happen. You have to develop them in the minors. You have to let them become what their potential lets them be. And the teams are just becoming impatient. And again, they're being disappointed because what they're doing isn't working. And it's obvious, but they continue to do it for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's just frustrating what's happening in Edmonton. And we see it time after time again, moves after move that they make. And it's like, when Peter Shirley was fired, it was like, rejoice, everybody. It's fixed now. But then they fired Keith Gretzky, who I don't think has made a good move so far. Like, he's made a couple of minor trades, couple of minor stuff, but like, just everything he does. Like, he's not that much better than Shirley. At least he hasn't even proved himself
to be. When he traded Taylor Hall for Adam Larson, they should have fired him right then and there.
Yeah.
But he continued to... Because guess what? Taylor Hall only played half a season with Connor McDavid.
He probably should have traded... Or he probably should have fired Shirley before that, too.
After the Eberle trade, people would argue.
Yeah.
People would argue after the Eberle trade. Anyway, the Edmonton Oilers are...
A dumpster fire. No new news today.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Hey, guess what? Edmonton's not as... No news on Edmonton. That's a good sign. And people are saying, oh, well, at least they didn't make a dumb move. No, you need to... They just need to make a move.
I mean,
to, it's...
You could have made the argument, though, that it... Yeah, you could have made the argument that making no move was better for them back then. But when it comes... It could have been a better move for them to not... It's obviously a better move for them to not trade Taylor Hall, not trade Jordan Eberle. But since you traded those guys, and since you traded those guys and put yourself in the hole, now you have to try and trade other guys to dig yourself out of the holes that they put themselves in. You could have been patient with those guys. But no, you decided to go out hastily and make those kinds of moves. And that puts them in the hole already, to where they have to make trades, and that's not a healthy position to be in, especially if you're an NHL team that wants to compete for the playoffs.
Not to mention that first round selection that ended up being Matt Barzal. Anyway,
yeah,
they just haven't been smart, and in this, and when you're in their position that they're in, they have to be smarter where they're at. They have to, they have to dig themselves out of the hole that they got themselves in. But at that point, you have to, but they're not. They just sat still. But that's that. That's it.
Yeah, obviously hindsight is 2020 with the moves that they made. But like, hindsight is 2020 with the moves they didn't make. They get the trade deadline. It's just a missed opportunity by them to do something to get rid of some of the plaque that has been building up on this team. And it's just concerning to watch the moves that they've made, and again, the moves that they didn't make. I feel like there was potential to maybe trade a guy like Lucic if a team was desperate enough. Retain 50%, do something, get that contract off your team as soon as possible. But no, they keep him, they stay patient at the exact wrong time.
Alrighty.
But that'll probably be it for today's episode. Pretty lengthy one. Probably will be around 2 hours, if not over 2 hours. But it was a pretty lengthy one. Talked about all the trades, went super in-depth, and not a bad third episode at all.
Exactly. All right. So remember to follow me on Twitter at 416J, FourOneSixJ, J-A-Y, 416J on Twitter. And then also, I'll just put out Nico, because he's not here right now.
Yeah.
Crash.
Nico doesn't need the followers.
Yeah, Nico from the TO on Twitter. That's his main hub. He does stuff with Puck77, who's also our affiliate. And he worked with the USHL and is a producer for ESPN. So remember to follow him on there. Obviously, follow Grav. He'll say his links. But remember, follow ROH Podcast on Twitter, Religion of Hockey Podcast on Twitter, to stay updated on everything we do and when we're recording. And in the future, if we ever integrate some fan interaction stuff, follow us there.
Yeah, and also for the guest coming in this episode, make sure you follow Franz. I think his ad is just Frederick Franzen, so you'll be able to find it there. He also makes wild content on YouTube, so watch out for that. But of course, with me, you probably already know my Twitter is at Nathan Gravity, YouTube Gravity. But that'll be it for today's episode. Episode number 3. I have no idea what I'm going to call this, by the way. But it's been a pretty lengthy one and a pretty fun one. Poor Nico had to cut out, like, pretty much right at the end. But it was still a pretty good one, even though we had some technical difficulties. But that'll conclude episode 3. Episode 4 will likely be next Sunday. We'll take a little bit of a break since we did 2 pretty much in like a 4-day span. So we'll take a little bit of a break, but this one was, we'll probably get your NHL fill for quite a while. So again, hope you guys enjoyed. We're on all platforms for podcasts now. Now we're off of Anchor, or at least not exclusively, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you might find it. You'll find the podcast, so make sure you stick around. And of course, look out for next week's episode. But of course, hope you guys enjoyed this, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Goodbye.